The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is... The show is...
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is The show is
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
Biggest show of the year and no one showed up. That's basically what's going on here at PFW in Progress. Just Andy and Paul. The A team. I guess that's all you need. In all actuality.
Some would say you just need me.
Fred will be by a little bit later, and Eric is holding down the fort inside the Patriots locker room, which has about another 15 minutes to go. Andy, you spent some time, I assume, in the locker room. I was up doing 3 points and didn't get there at all today.
Yes.
Overall mood? Still kind of lighthearted. Seemed like pretty lighthearted yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's as lighthearted or jocular as we've seen on a lot of Fridays,
right?
Which is today. Part of that, I think, is the cold, and people are just prepping for practice by putting layers and doing different things.
It is literally 0 degrees in and around the Foxborough area, so it is a little bit colder. Obviously, the last day that we're going to get to talk to you before the Patriots will take on the Ravens on Saturday. Lot going on in general, but specifically with this game, the matchups just seem to be the same. I mean, like, it's the same topics of conversation that you heard on Monday that you're still hearing on Thursday. You know, the physicality up front on both sides, you know, the Ravens' level of intimidation in terms of being scared of the Patriots or not, that kind of stuff. Patriots' offensive line against the pass rush. The wide receivers that the Ravens have against the downfield threats against Revis and Browner and the pass interference calls, all kinds of stuff like that seems to be just recycling day after day after day. I need a game to get played. I need to see what happens with all these matchups.
We're a little more than, 48 hours away? 50-something hours away?
Yeah, it won't be long. It won't be long at this point.
That's what she said.
Well, certainly. It's hard to get it long on a day like today.
Easy. Bill Belichick certainly was dismissive of the whole weather angle today.
No, it's not. It's nope.
Yeah, he just I agree. A lot of people thought they were going to practice inside. I didn't because I don't know why that would make any sense. It is colder today than is going to be on Saturday, but it's going to be pretty damn cold on Saturday. You know, the temperature's dipping in that game to potentially low 20s and high teens. You're going to, as he said, we're playing in the cold. We practice in the cold. You know, even to the point of not just... You know, I was chatting with Julian Edelman for a while because he brought up something yesterday I've never heard, but he has seen a study where you have a 30% loss of hand strength in cold, cold weather. And he talked about how, you know, catching the ball, and I asked him, where'd you see that? He goes, I don't know. I'm not even sure he ever saw it anywhere.
I haven't.
But, you know, talking to him, and he's like, you just go out and you get out there a little earlier and get your hands acclimated to the cold, and that's part of this process, you know.
So get him colder.
Brady said,
that's the way to combat it.
You know, Brady yesterday to Tom Curran said he's a bleeping machine. I know how to deal with all this. I have it down to the exact degree, how many and what layers I'm going to wear. And I told you in his locker, he's got that stack of gloves for
wet,
winter, all that stuff. He's been using the neoprene.
Different kinds of gloves, but different kind of weather.
Most
cold,
players,
cold and wet.
Most players dismiss it. Now, you know, some of the newcomers, I know Brandon LaFell just talked about he's never really experienced anything like this cold. And Brandon Browner said, even though I played in Canada, I've never played on a field that crunched beneath your feet, that the grass was actually frozen under your feet. So there's an adjustment.
You would have thought he would.
But I think that season ends earlier, right? I mean,
it's pretty cold, though.
Doesn't it end like maybe November?
He never advanced that far in the playoffs.
And maybe there's a lot of turf up there was the other thing I was thinking. They seems like they have a lot of those old-school turf fields up there and different things. So I don't know. But, you know, most players, Jimmy Garoppolo, I was like, so, Brady, give you any tricks? I grew up in the cold. You know, you get used to it. You know what you want to wear and how you want to wear it. If you like, you know, Will Fork, I just pretend it's not there.
The LaFell thing is interesting, I think, because, he's a key part of the offense and a guy who has not experienced this kind of cold.
And there were questions
at LSU
about his hands.
And in Carolina.
Now, if we have questions, 30% less of those hands with losing the strength, according to Edelman.
And throw in a lower leg, you know, I think it was listed as toe.
Toe.
The toe
it's
injury.
About as low on the leg as you can get.
Now it's cold. I'm thinking about my injury. I'm thinking about the weather. Things other than
and
what
the toes
he should be
are the
thinking
hardest
about.
Thing to keep warm.
Your
They're
feet
so
get
far
cold,
from
it's
your
impossible
heart
to get back.
And, you know, if you're just doing nothing, well, you can put some of those hot hands in or hot boots or whatever in your
right.
feet. I'm not sure you can do that if you're trying to run around on an NFL caliber, you know, competitive level with, you know, warmers jammed underneath your feet or something. So I just, it's a story. They're poo-pooing
it. It's interesting to that you brought the LaFell part up. I hadn't really thought of that. That's
an
interesting angle.
You know, even the Browner one to some degree. Those are two newcomers that are key guys. Now, I don't expect we'll say, he looks cold. They're getting killed because he's cold or whatever. But
no.
You know, and
they're not going to lose because it's cold.
Solder talking about you can't really wear sleeves because as an offensive lineman, then they grab it and use it to pull you out of the way, and you want less material available to be grabbed, not more, and that can be an issue with some of those guys and different things. I don't know, but I don't think it'll really be a huge factor either way.
No, both teams are cold weather teams, and
right.
both, you know, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, Flacco is not Peyton Manning in terms of being affected by the weather. So he's a guy that can drive the ball through the wind, you know, within reason. There are certain amounts of wind that I don't care who you are, you're not throwing the ball.
But that's not expected.
And that's not expected as well.
Now, you never know once you get here because it's the windiest place on the planet other than Mount Washington. It is. Don't you feel that?
It's always windy here. It's always windy
on the
upside. It's always sunny in Philadelphia. It's always windy in Foxborough.
Right. But, you know, other than that, I thought the locker room was just sort of a normal, a lot of media, you know, a lot of national media faces you see, people. There was one guy in the press conference who got bitch slapped a few times. He was a new face. Also said Nata or something is how he pronounced it. I got bitch slapped a couple times in the press conference. Yeah.
I only heard one, and I didn't really think it was a fair BSing.
Yeah, I didn't really care. My other one was I asked him, I said, have you seen teams, you know, somewhat unique, their best sack guy is a situational guy. Have you seen teams go hurry up to try to keep him on the sideline? And he said, a little bit, but if you do that, they're just going to rotate him in. Well, he kind of poo-pooed it quickly, but if you do that, then you're putting him in a position you don't really want him in, if you're the defense, if you're the Ravens, because you want him on the field, but clearly you've decided you don't want him on the field as an every-down player.
Yeah, it might be almost the opposite. We're trying to keep him off the field. No, we're actually trying to keep him on it.
Right.
You know, okay, so they rotated him in. Well, I'm just going to run the ball now, and I'm going to go hurry up and not allow you to get him off the field.
Right. So either way, I think it's something that is a potential factor in this game. And he talked about how they have a lot of depth. Other than Mosley and Smith, they have depth. They have rotation. Suggs is on the field most of the time, but even he rotates off sometimes. And they have talent up front that they're now rotating a little bit more. Now, it'll be interesting to see with Nata fresh how they rotate and moving forward and all that. But and Mosley, by the way, had a better year than I really realized
Mosley
I started breaking into his
Mosley
numbers.
Mosley had a really, really good year.
I mean,
it's hard to make the Pro Bowl as a rookie, especially when you're not doing it at a skill position spot where your stats are just blinding everybody.
But,
inside
you know, tackles,
linebacker.
Fumbles, he was an active guy in the middle of that defense. So I think that's interesting. But, you know, I would flip it. I haven't watched the video yet, but apparently MMQB has put out an interesting video on Jamie Collins kind of hyping him up as, like, you know, the next big thing type of video, really hyping his versatility and playing ability.
Is that the kind of stuff
that
you get with the extra money for Greg Bedard, I assume?
Wow.
I'm saying.
He took a shot at me on Twitter.
Did he really?
Well, I said, I didn't know this, but Doomerville, it makes obvious sense. His nickname is Doom You know, and all throughout their release, it's like Doom's 17 sack. They call him Doom throughout. And I was like, and I just tweeted that, you know, T Sizzle gets all the attention, but Doom is a much cooler nickname. And he said, wait a minute, are you still trying to get that crazy Doom nickname for the Patriots defense too? And I go, actually, it's Island of Doom. And no, I've given up.
We took a shot. Heaven, who knew it ran its course in August?
Right. It didn't stick.
I didn't know. Yeah, C.J. Mosley did. He had a really strong year, really good rookie year. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in terms of Gronkowski. I mean, I think that Daryl Smith is the more active one of those two in terms of pass coverage, his range and whatnot. So I would assume that the double
team. He's one of the two off-the-line linebackers.
No, I heard all of that. But that one actually made sense to me.
No,
because
I know. It's just funny.
That one actually was – that's black and white.
Right.
You can see that, you know.
Right.
I mean, for all to see up front. And I talked to you about this off. I think I brought it up yesterday during the show about wondering if that Brandon Williams guy sort of emerged when Nada went out and that allowed Nada to go to the end. Well, I actually, believe it or not, I did some research on this yesterday.
I'll go not.
And that's not true.
Okay.
Brandon Williams was playing all year for the most part. I went back to several of their game books on NFL Jesus and he starts at that nose tackle position. And they call them different things. You know, one's a defensive end and one's a defensive tackle. They have different names for them. This probably gets back to the Ozzie Newsome. What do we play? You know, again, I don't mean to bring you back to Vietnam, but
it actually didn't bother me that much. It wasn't a big deal, but it just caught me off guard.
No, I don't know.
One of those
know.
National. Had it happened in this media workroom, I wouldn't care.
Right.
But on like sort of a national level, you're getting called out by a guy, and you don't really know the other team all that well, and
so.
You know.
He has been playing a pretty regular role. They have sort of worked in Chris Canty. Timmy Jernigan has played a little bit. Those guys have both been injured. They look like they're healthy now. Canty played last week.
They had full attendance at practice today other than Suggs, and he just takes days off.
Right. I find it funny. You brought up the injury report once again. I think the Patriots went from, I don't know, I would say conservatively 27 guys on the injury report to four yesterday.
Right.
And the Ravens, same thing, only had three or four guys listed on their injury report.
Jeff Howe had the line of the day on that. Somebody tweeted that the Patriots injury report really shrunk for the postseason, and Jeff Howe said, it went swimming. Made me laugh.
So, not a whole lot in terms of injuries, major injuries to monitor here. I'm going to give you one that I don't think we've talked about so far in PFW in Progress. Eugene Monroe, he was able to practice yesterday. He was limited. Didn't play in the game against the Steelers. It's a fairly significant piece to the offensive line, your left tackle.
Although everyone has said he's been a pretty big disappointment for them this year.
But what does that say about the guy who replaces him?
No question.
Now, the guy who replaced him was pretty good the other night. I don't know if he is any good, but Chandler Jones, that could be an area. You know, I think it's an ankle injury for Monroe too, so that might be a speed guy like Chandler Jones. That could be an area that you could.
I told you how I feel about that. Oh, left tackle is not that good and has an ankle injury. Chandler should light him up, except then Chandler won't light him up.
Wow, you are really
what?
Bipolar. Sometimes right. You just you're all in. Sometimes you go all out. I can't.
Oh, by the way,
tell. Can't tell with you.
The things really hit me yesterday, and I know this is a, you know, most people consider this not the usual divisional round game that they've played in recent years, but when I was looking back, and I was just writing something, comping basically what the Patriots have done against playoff teams, whatever. So they played three playoff teams from the AFC this year and scored 42, 42, and 43 points.
Right.
And in the last three divisional round games, they've played 41, 43, and 45 points. Just using those numbers alone certainly would be seemingly a safe bet to go Patriots 40-something, Ravens 20-something.
Yeah, now, is that what you're looking at?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I don't envision that kind of a game. I know
but
a lot of people do.
I
a lot
won't
of people
be stunned
think
if it
be
happens.
A blowout.
I think there's a chance that the Patriots march down the field, Gronk dominates, and they just start rolling.
Yeah,
I think there's
I
a
will
chance
be stunned if that happens, if it's a 40-something to...
I won't be stunned. I've heard a lot of it. I'm not predicting it, but I won't be stunned if it happens.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm overrating Baltimore then, because I don't envision them losing that kind of a game. But I do agree that this is a different divisional round game. They probably haven't had this since the 2003, 2004, 2005 kind of era. Usually the divisional round games have been, you know, starting in 2007, like Jacksonville.
Right.
You know.
No, this is that rivalry.
Even the one they lost to the Jets was
right.
This kind of a game.
No question. This is that rivalry, consistent, familiar, AFC, formidable foe type game. Now, who knows how it plays out in any direction, but coming in, you have, you know, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a Super Bowl winning coach, a physical team, a team that plays in the Northeast. You don't have any obvious black marks, I guess I'd say, for the other team. You don't have anything where you say, this is flat out why they can't compete in Foxborough. This is flat out why they don't deserve the respect in this matchup. They deserve the respect on every level.
I'm going to head to the emails first here. One to start us off here with Tony.
Tony!
You hinted at it yesterday, but you guys didn't go into depth. Which team has the edge from a coaching perspective, Dean Pease or Josh McDaniels? I guess it really comes down to the O-line, how they go, so goes the Pats. And then he writes, yikes. But who do you think has the edge there in that chess match, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots or the defensive coordinator for the Ravens?
This is a cop-out, but I'd tend to say push. And if anything, my own personal biases and favoritism towards Josh might give me a little bit to go in that direction. I think they're both pretty good coaches. I think they're both pretty good coaches who make adjustments. And I think they're both coaches that if their personnel does what they tell them to do, they'll be successful. And if their personnel fails to do their jobs, like the Hats like to say, they'll fail. I don't think either guy is going to get caught with his pants down. I'd be surprised.
What do you think of the comparison between Joe Flacco and Eli Manning?
Joe Flacco and Eli Manning.
Toby from New York.
Probably decent.
Toby from New York thinks there's something there. To me, Flacco is very similar to Eli. Both seem to sleepwalk through the regular season, but don't ever show emotion. Both don't ever show emotion, and both are terrifying come playoff time.
Sure.
Let's contrast them with Brady. He takes every game seriously and is always showing emotion. I think this makes him tighter come playoff time. What do you guys think?
Well, and I think you could, if you want to make the comparison, I think you can take it a step further. I think both coaches, Coughlin and Harbaugh, are good coaches who have yet to really find the formula for consistent regular season success. They get into these playoff games as wild cards or as 10-6s and, you know, kind of playing late in the year to get in. They're not the Patriots, you know, mid-November they have themselves poised to just cruise into the postseason. And both teams have physical defenses with physical fronts. I mean, I certainly think if you want to make comparisons between these Ravens and those Giants, it starts with Manning, certainly. I think both guys can throw the ball down the field, have strong arms, are probably a little more athletic and elusive than people would at first glance give them credit for. They can move around a little bit if they absolutely need to.
Yeah.
And the demeanors are similar. I think you can say they don't react to anything, and the only time I would say they both react is sometimes when they're both sulking. I think they both have a little sulking aspect to their personalities and, oh, I don't mean, woe is me, kind of that.
Yeah, and it's
seeps
not as
out.
Much on the field as it is off of it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
and,
no,
and
like
I think,
some
I
random
think
press conference.
It,
you ask them a question, oh, yeah, I'll never get the credit, or all I did was say I was a lead.
And that's fine.
Right.
And that's fine.
Right. So
you know,
I
and that's fine.
I think it's an interesting comparison.
But I do think that serves them well in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that Brady's outward emotion is a detriment. I'm not going where he went with the, you know, that makes him tight in the playoffs. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the flatline approach that Flacco and Manning have, I think, helps them treat the playoffs like any other game. A lot of guys get all amped up and overwhelmed by the moment. They don't, and I think that's one of the reasons why. Now, you could argue, conversely, they need a little more urgency in the regular season at times, and then they wouldn't be 10-6 all the time,
right,
playing so many road playoff games and occasionally getting left out of the playoffs altogether in Eli Manning's case.
But there are a lot of similarities
between
the Giants, these Ravens. I would throw the Jets in there as teams that consistency in the regular season can be an issue, but emotional, raise it to the level you need to at
any
the right
given
time.
Sunday, not a great team to play.
Yeah, and the Patriots are the even keel. Now, Brady can be up and down at times. We've seen Brady be up and down, and you can say he comes out and, you know, so many times the Bengals game this year, you know, the game at Pittsburgh, was that last year or 2 years ago, where he's so emotional, jacked up, and he ends up, it seems like every time, either rushing for a first down or rushing for a touchdown and either spiking or giving the dramatic first down, and it's all like, oh, yeah, ride Brady. But I think, you know, there are other times where he comes out emotional and then starts to sulk midway through the second quarter because he's getting beat up and the pressure's there.
And that's why I made that comment yesterday. Someone says they want to see Brady all jacked up at the beginning of the game. I said I'd rather see him jacked up at the end of the first quarter, telling me that he got off to a good start and not pouting the way you have just described that he has occasionally done when things haven't gone well. Harry and Maryland.
Kevin, real quick. Apparently sandwiches are going quick. Can you go get sandwiches? Just got a text off the...
I thought it wasn't supposed to be until like 12:45.
I don't know. Word on the street is the sandwiches are going quick, and if we want to eat, get down there.
Harry in Maryland is one of those who does not believe this game will be a concern at all. He's telling everybody to chill. He lives in Ravens country, watched every game. They're not really good. We are. The Pats will win. I predict the Patriots...
Just let me tell you, how does a team that's not very good end up, you know, top 10 in scoring, top 10 in points allowed?
Well, it's schedule. You didn't know that? They didn't beat any good teams. And that's fact, not opinion. They didn't beat the good teams that they played. The Patriots beat
right.
the good teams that
no
they
question.
Played. That's fact. But I do think that a lot of whistling past the graveyard is going on. I predict the Ravens will need to compensate in the secondary so much that we will run all over them. 200 yards on the ground, 37-16. So there's one blowout city, baby.
Fred Kirsch.
Signed F. Kirsch.
I mean, maybe that'll happen. I don't envision that. I think the Patriots could blow them out. I think the Patriots could win this game. I think they're the better football team, the favorite, and all that. If they run
for 200 yards, this is the only scenario that I can envision. The Ravens' offense turned the ball over four times in the first quarter and a half, fell behind 31-0 or something of the sort, and the second half just turns into a grind it out, let's run the clock and get this game over with, and the Ravens have decided that you know, it's what time are we golfing tomorrow? Although, if they line up and try to run the football, they are not running for 200 foot yards on the
I'm
Ravens.
Not even not sure I can buy your scenario because I'm not sure those guys will give up.
Well, I'm just saying if the game is
far
out of whack.
Literally,
the
only
might.
Way I can see it is one of those games where LeGarrette Blount has 260-yard runs.
Oh, well, that could happen.
If he has a couple of those, but I'm not even sure they'll run the ball.
You know what? You're right. That would be the better scenario is if Blount breaks one.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you take away the 65-yard run, whatever.
And they average 2.2 a carry.
Right.
You know, that would be one way. Matt in Houston's going to lead us off on the Ace Ticket Hotline today. Matt, how you doing?
How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, I had a question. First-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. I've been following the Patriots for quite a long time, and just had a question about some potential breakout stars for these fantasy games for me. I get to pick two running backs, three receivers, and a kicker. Obviously, if a team gets eliminated, I lose that position throughout the playoffs. So I'm looking towards a winner but a decent play at a running back, which I think I'm going with Marshawn Lynch, and then either Blount or Gray.
I would go Blount.
Right there.
I would go Blount if you had to pick one of those two.
That's what I was thinking. For the three receivers, Gronkowski obviously is
yep.
probably my number one. I was going maybe Jordy Nelson for the Green Bay because I think Green Bay is going to take out Dallas. And then for my other receiver, I was either going to go Dez Bryant, Randall Cobb, or one of the Denver receivers.
I would not. I mean, this is just me. I wouldn't think it'd be smart to pair up on Packers in case they get eliminated, right?
Yeah, I would go Dez Bryant.
Okay.
The only problem there is you're guaranteeing you're eliminated, right?
Well, one position.
Right. So because they're playing each other, so.
Oh.
You know, would
I see what you're saying.
Would you? Would it be
smarter?
I
thought it was just for this week. I didn't realize you had to keep them all throughout.
Would it be smarter to
take a Bronco?
Take a Bronco, Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders?
That's what I'm thinking because I don't really see the Colts going in there and maybe putting up a fight, but I don't think they're going to do much to Denver. So.
I agree.
Probably I would go with. I would probably say Sanders because I think Sanders would probably have that over the top, you know.
I think Sanders would be a solid pick to balance out your roster.
Okay, and then obviously my kicker, I'd probably go Dawson.
Doesn't matter who you have for a kicker.
Well, you just don't want to.
I mean, whoever you think is going to win the Super Bowl, I would pick their kicker.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we get to pick week to week, so my receivers I pick this week won't be the same next week. I just lose that position if, say, Jordy Nelson, their team loses, I lose a receiver.
Oh, so if your kicker's eliminated, you'd lose the kicker.
Yeah, but
if
he wins, I don't have to go with Duskowski next week.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
I went with Vinatieri last week, which was awesome because he had a great game. So
right.
That helped out. So I guess Blount and Sanders I'll go with. But definitely want to say this. I think this is our year. I just found out 2 days ago that my wife is with child.
Nice. So congrats.
Hopefully this is a miracle baby and brings us a Patriots Super Bowl.
And you can name the baby Gronk, even if it's a girl.
We were talking about that. There's going to be a Patriots name in it if there's definitely a Super Bowl this year.
Nice.
Don't do that to the
Patriots. So let's go get those Ravens. Pats all the way.
All right, Matt, congratulations, and I hope everything goes well there.
The fantasies started at noon today.
Yeah, I thought we were doing the fantasy show, but now I'm glad that I let him go because he had that nice nugget that he finished off the call with. And, you know, the fantasy stuff.
He also called from the 1800s.
You would get
it. He's with child.
This is Michael in Los Angeles wants to tell us how great we are, Andy. So I always read those.
Love it.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Everybody says it. You guys do a great job. I really appreciate the perspective each of you brings and the analysis that you provide every show. My football knowledge and love of the Pats and the game has really increased since I've been listening. One question for you guys that I've been thinking about recently. I'm curious how each of you watch a game and what in particular you're looking for during the play. Are you just following the ball? Or are there times when you're actually focusing on particular matchups away from the ball? I'm assuming a lot of the more detailed breakdowns come with rewatching games, but I've always been curious about what you may be seeing in real time that some of us may not be picking up on.
Yeah,
there's a little more, but I want you to sort
I tend
of,
to watch matchups, varying matchups, I think, and at times at a detriment to knowing what's going on the play, really. But, yeah, I'll if I start to see an inkling of, Steve Smith and Brandon Browner, and they're starting to go at it, I'll start to watch them more. Or if Torrey Smith is blowing by Browner, but it doesn't lead to anything, I'm going to start watching that matchup to see if it's going to lead to something. You know, other than that, it's mostly Devlin and Gronk.
Yeah, I generally do watch the football, but I do what Andy just described. I would say maybe 15-20% of the time I might look, and it's always exactly what Andy talked about. It's a matchup with a receiver on a defensive back, and occasionally I might watch one individual pass rush. I might watch Chandler Jones on Eugene Monroe and see if he's consistently getting the edge on him and that kind of stuff. But I have to be honest, in most cases I'm watching the football and trying to keep track of the play. And you are right, Michael, where we do a little bit more of the analytical work would be after rewatching stuff and getting a better look at the personnel groupings and stuff like that. I think if you try to do all of that live, like Andy just said, you end up missing the game a little bit and it hurts you. But Michael finishes up his email, Andy, as I let you partake in our lunch that Kevin just brought us. For this particular game, he's looking at the following: a strong four-quarter performance from the offense, establish the run, protect Brady, and get Gronk rolling. An aggressive defense, two turnovers, four sacks, stop the run, get Flacco off his spot, contain and smother. I also think Brady is going to hit on a play-action long pass in this game. He's missed all year, and it's about time for him to make a big play down the field. And it's time for us to step up and start playing Patriots football again on both sides of the ball. I'm excited about this matchup. Pats win. He has a score here. Based on all that he just said, I want you to give me his score.
34-24.
Are you looking at the email?
No.
You have to be.
Woo!
Based on all of that based on all that he just described, you predicted a 10-point game.
Here's where I tell you
I wasn't really listening.
I wasn't really listening, okay. So I didn't even know
he wants
what
he strong four-quarter performance, establish the run, protect Brady, get Gronk rolling, an aggressive defense with two turnovers and four sacks, get Flacco off his spot and stop the run, and Brady to hit on a key long play-action pass that he's been missing on all year.
Had I heard any of that, I probably would have gone like
41-10.
Yeah.
That's what I would have thought.
But I think my greatness of an intellect picked up on just
is
the vibe
what you
of
call,
the score.
Is that what you're calling it nowadays? Greatness of
is
intellect?
Is it me? Now I need you because you're my memory guy.
Usually it is just
It does
you.
Feel like they take a deep shot or two every postseason game. Is that wrong?
I think they take a deep shot all the time, yeah.
So Brian Timm's going to have a play in this game.
Well, why couldn't it be Brandon LaFell?
I think there's a better chance it's Gronk.
Yeah, I don't look at those as the same kind. I mean, there was that one that Gronk got behind Miami, I think. He got behind Cortland Finnegan. That was about 40.
Got behind Adrian Wilson with ease a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there are some deep seam routes that I don't necessarily look at the same way as a bomb. You know what I'm saying? He might catch one 15, 20 yards downfield in stride. It's a long pass. It's a deep ball. But I'm talking about what you're saying, the Brian Timms. He's just running a go route. The ball's in the air 50 yards, and he's running underneath it. And Gronk did do that against Miami. He had one that he got behind Quilton Finnegan, and Brady missed him. Let's see here. Before we take a break, because I think Fred's going to be here soon, so I think I might be able to play this the right way.
I hope so, because he needs to be the referee in Hart Florio 1.
Yes, Ahmed, what's going on, guys? First of all, this nickname for the defense situation, I got it under control, the lockdown lair. Boom, you're welcome.
I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't either. Anyways, now I got that off my shoulders. We used to have the IRF on them. I've always, in the back of my mind, been afraid of the Baltimore Ravens because of those letdowns we've had in recent years. Their strong suit is our weakness, so let's just see what happens when we go match force with force. Also, I emailed for the first time in the offseason. I would like to highlight the point I made then. We should have moved up in the draft and acquired
Robert Quinn.
Mike Evans. Robert Quinn. It was like 4 years ago. Jesus.
I still say we should have moved up in the draft.
Let it go. With
Mike
the
Evans, good player, by the way.
Yeah. With the Ravens, good pass rush. I feel like if they had, if they jam our wide receivers at the line, Brady would get flustered and throw a sailor or two. All I'm saying is that Brady will need sailor.
I like that.
Will need to be on his A game, and I will always love Brady. I've always loved Brady as a fan, but I do have some doubts with his postseason play. All I want is for us to hold up that trophy, so I'm all in. F the Ravens and F the Colts and F the Seahawks. And, yes, that's my prediction for the rest of the year. Peace out and go Pats. P.S. Andy, don't leave for EEI if the Patriots win a Super Bowl and you don't get that raise. We need you here on the dark side.
Just so you know, I'm following the money. I'm like Mo Vaughn.
Smell that?
Except it is all about the money. I'm not denying it. It's about the money. I want a question for you, and maybe we'll do one of those real radio teases since you're about to take a break. Despite history, would you feel better or worse this week if Dante Scarnecchia were the offensive line coach?
Better.
I agree with that, except in history, we've seen the offensive line get bitch slapped in the postseason.
That's true.
But that said, if Dante Scarnecchia were the coach this week, I would be guaranteeing a Patriots significant victory because I would just assume he would make sure that Suggs, Natah, and Doomerville would not ruin this game. And I think that's a little weird in that Giants, Jets, and these teams have ruined the game with the front when Scar was the coach, right? And yet we don't, like, we're worried because
but you're making
Gooch
it sound like that was because Scar was the coach.
No, I know.
That's why I would rather
have Scar. I know
I'm
pulling a Felger and tying, like, random dots together.
You're taking two facts, and you're drawing a conclusion from that's not necessarily accurate.
And this is totally disrespectful to Gooch. But if Dante Scarnecchia were the offensive line coach today, I would feel significantly more confident in the Patriots' victory.
Today.
Boom.
I would absolutely feel more comfortable. Yeah.
And if Brady's throwing sailors, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and he's not even he's a big Brady fan, but not necessarily in the postseason.
Plus, I don't know why there's Navy personnel here on that. Anyway.
All right. Kevin brought us some food here, so Andy and I are going to take part. Hopefully Fred will be here. He said he was going to have to miss the first 30 minutes. We're 35 in, so hopefully he can take over the host chair because you know how much I hate it, especially when food's on the table. Kevin, good time to cut out right now. Keep the calls coming. Keep the emails coming. Got plenty to go.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Yes, Andy, as I've often said, you are the inappropriate one. Good news, though. Eric Scalavino.
And Fred Kirsch.
Oh, that's the best news
that
I've heard.
The boys are rolling in.
Best news that I've heard in a while.
Got an Argyle V-neck.
Fred is in the house, so that means I don't have to read
any more
emails.
A blue hat.
I'll tell you what I will do, though, if Fred's in the house. Do you have time
a little
to
practice
do...
report?
Yeah, do you have time? I didn't want to interrupt your lunch.
No. We can do a little bit of that.
Okay, why don't you do a practice report? I'll switch spots with Freddie, and Freddie can jump in the big boy chair, and I can do what I do best and make sarcastic comments from that chair.
Yes, that's what you do. Well, we just got off of the Gillette Stadium game field in the bowl on the artificial turf.
Boy, is it cold!
It's not that bad. It really isn't.
Well, the big thing is when
you're
it gets
insane.
To like 25 and then goes to 15 and five,
it wasn't windy.
It's cold.
And it's the wind chills that was going to make it feel like it was in the negative teens.
Right.
It wasn't really windy. And the sun was out. The cold you can deal with, especially if you're running around for 2 hours. Your body heats up. No, we weren't, but it really wasn't even that cold for us standing there. You know how on game days some of the players like to come out with no sleeves? That's been like a talking point. Media decided today that they were going to intimidate the players, and the media went out there with just short sleeves, and I'm kidding. Obviously.
That didn't work?
You unleashed those twigs? You and Giardi?
It was -1 when I left my house today. Fahrenheit, not wind chill. -1.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
So my
weather station this morning said -26 wind chill.
But it's going to feel balmy. When it gets to be like in the 20s this weekend for the game. So
oh, yeah.
It'll be fine. It's not going to be that big a deal.
Fred.
And everybody was practicing again.
It'll be fine.
Tell you one thing. Those hot chocolates they sell in the commemorative mugs, those be rolling off the shelves this weekend.
Everybody practicing again today. Freddie, I got you a quote from Jonas Gray.
Oh, yeah?
Which I'll put in my story today on the website later.
What
was
the subject
later.
Matter?
Inactivity.
Laugh all you want. Laugh it up.
I often make fun of you for not being anywhere near as funny as you think you are. That was damn funny.
Thanks.
Well, what was the subject?
We asked him about playing his former team because, as you know, we got him off of the Ravens.
He once had a sweatshirt that said Ravens
right.
on it.
I mean, I'm as much a Raven as he is.
And
yes, you are, considering your personality.
Stark Raven mad. And about how excited he is about the fact that he's going to be in the playoffs.
Okay.
Just a little notebook edition.
Did you tell him the game's Saturday just so we don't have any
issues? I did, actually. I was like, he's like, yeah, you know, we've been talking about all week. I'm excited
and plug
to play.
The phone in.
I said, you know, it's the first. I did. I was like, it's the first game of the weekend. So,
you know what that means,
get it done sooner, right?
Get to be the first team to advance.
Right.
Which means you have longer time to talk about it because they're also the AFC, the last team to play the following weekend. So. Yeah.
Another advantage for Belichick. He'll have more time to prepare for the AFC Championship game.
Sure. There you go. It always works out for the Patriots.
Always. Right.
That's what Dan Shaughnessy says.
All right. Well, good. So things are going well out in the practice field.
Everybody's practicing.
Both teams, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure you
Everybody
guys...
except Suggs, who's taking his usual, whatever, veteran day off. All Ravens are on the practice field as well.
Veteran day off in the playoffs, huh?
Very small injury reports for both teams.
Well, he held down Harbaugh and held bleach over his head and said, I'm taking the day off, right?
I'm assuming you guys talked about Belichick's press conference this morning.
A little bit about dismissing the weather.
We did, but I'm assuming that you're going to have something to say about the press conference that we didn't mention.
I just thought it was so funny. And, Paul, you were there when I was laughing out loud because people wanted to talk about the weather. He's never going to do that.
The best one was the what's harder, the physical or the mental aspect? Yeah,
right.
What mental aspect?
Right.
Just goes, well, what mental side?
I liked I think what was a woman, I didn't recognize her voice, asked about, you know, is there ever a time where – you know, you think in terms of safety, in terms of it's too cold to practice outside for safety purposes.
That was that ESPN woman.
And he said, ESPN?
Michelle?
Like, what are you, the Steel? Superintendent
yeah,
of Boston Steel. Schools?
Yeah. I think it might have been
Michelle Steel. And he said, nope.
Right.
Yeah. And then nope. Tom Curran goes, you're mean. It's cold out there. He got no response.
And then Tom Curran asked him about back shoulder throws and underthrown balls and passing. And Bill dismissed everyone like, if the guy stops, you stop and look, turn your head back.
Right.
If he slows down, you slow down and put your head back. If he reaches his hands up, put your hands
up. But in that explanation, it's pretty clear that he thought that Dallas thing was a penalty. Because the guy slowed down, the receiver, and the other guy didn't and ran
in
through.
The whole turn your head, and if you don't, they're going to call it. If you're not, it's not a penalty. No, but my point is he took what I would argue is one of the hardest things in all of sports and made it very black and white.
Right.
He is not giving a single corner the excuse by saying, well, yeah, it's really hard. It's not easy.
Right,
because now he gives the player an excuse.
And I love, you know, you get your hands where his hands are. That's hard, too.
Right. and he knows he might want to stop. You don't know when he wants to stop.
Right.
And then he went in the hallway, and Curran followed up, and they had a little one-on-one. And he was literally bodying up Curran and turning back and showing him how to do it. And I'm thinking, yes, in slow motion with two 50-year-old white guys doing it, it's easy.
I saw
two 4-3s running down the field full speed.
Right.
It's not easy.
I saw the same thing on the Bryant College practice field when Parcells was showing after practice some of the cornerbacks how to defend the high pass.
Yeah, it's easy in drills.
Just seeing
it's comical.
Parcells do that.
Parcells
was so funny.
Did he light up a butt when he was doing it?
I could see Ty Law saying, yeah, now you go guard Randy Moss and do it.
Well, I was
fine and dandy in drills at three-quarter speed.
With Moss specifically, too, I was thinking of what Fred said about, you know, you get your hands where his hands are. Well, what if
they're
you're Moss?
What if
you're Moss and you don't put your hands out until the ball's in them?
Right.
I mean, no one did that better than Randy Moss.
No question.
Right. Yeah.
He made it seem so simple and black. And like, it was like he was diagramming what you do. And it's fact. He slows, you slow. He stop, you stop.
Right. But it happens
in a
split second.
Right.
So
he dismissed everything. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, I brought up the officials. He dismissed it. You know, the fact that during the year, we know they scout them, and they know which team holds this, that. And he said, well, it's really the same every game. You got to get a feel for the game, blah, 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 blah. And then I brought up the idea that we've been talking about of if you go hurry up and get Doomerville on the sideline, well, I think they'll just put him in the game then. Everything was kind of just black and white with him today.
Right.
There weren't any of those Friday flowing sort of.
No. But in actuality, your question about the refs is a good one.
Thanks, Fred.
Because you can scout them during the season. You know which crews kind of tend toward certain penalties or not. And then you have these, you know, like you call them, all-star crews. And how does that dictate it?
Right.
So in this case, he's right. You do have to kind of just wait and see how the flow of the game is.
So a team that we kind of hype up as being the most prepared for everything may be at a slight disadvantage. Right? Because they're used to preparing and knowing, and they don't know until...
I don't know about a disadvantage, but they've lost that advantage.
Well, you know, Rex Ryan never does that, so we always are at an advantage.
Like there was an advantage that they had. the thing that I would wonder about the officials, though, like Bill always says, you know, we know Ed Hockley's crew calls a lot of X penalties or whatever. Right. Do they take that a step further and just say it's Hockley's crew, or do they actually say that back judge in Hockley's crew likes to call a lot of legal contact?
Probably.
So, and therefore, it's probably not that much of a difference because he knows all the individual members of all
true.
The crews.
Right.
And by the way, I don't dismiss the fact that Belichick knows
Hockley's
back judge and Mike Carey's line judge and this guy. And he knows all these guys on the All-Star crew.
No question.
He knows who they all are and he knows what
his
their reputations
Excel spreadsheet
are.
Has every guy listed. Now
just
he just
little,
switches
just
them on different
harder.
Teams.
Just a little
you
harder.
Just sort them differently.
Yeah.
Instead of being sorted there over here, you pull out this guy and this guy and this guy and make them a team and add up their penalties and boom.
Yeah, because when you're saying, you know, the referee's crew does X, it's not just because it's Ed Hockley.
No,
it's because
the individuals on that crew.
If they call a lot of holding penalties, yeah, that's on the referee a lot. Or the umpire a lot. But it might not necessarily be the downfield penalties that the Ravens are known to get.
But it's the postseason, and it's all scripted, so Dean Blandino is actually the one making the calls.
Not every game. Only certain ones. Yeah. So you can't make it. You can't make
it
ridiculous.
So they don't care whether the Patriots or the Ravens win?
Oh, I don't know. I'll let you know when I see. I'll let you know when I see the game unfold.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
I honestly don't think games are fixed. It just so astounds me that he thinks there's no possibility. How many scandals are we going to have involving the up and up cheating that goes on in sports, college, pro? Yeah. Before we say none of it, it's like the steroids. Like, how can you just completely dismiss it as out of hand?
Believe it or not,
with all the different examples.
We just had this argument, not an argument, but
I know he's been making fun of me for days now.
No. We Mark Capello, our friend from 98.5, and another member of the media,
aka Andy's brother from another mother, who's always negative.
We're having and no surprise, Capello was on his side. He's like, I don't believe that any of this stuff is going on or whatever. And I was like, but when you see such an egregious call, like in the Dallas game, the thought has to cross your mind. Like, it's just,
and again, I'm not
how
saying,
can it be so
I don't
bad?
Really think the Dallas game was fixed. I'm just saying that it's not out of the realm of possibility for me to envision a scenario in which someone
it
called down
wonder.
To the referee and said, you got to pick that one up.
It makes you wonder.
The referee doesn't necessarily know why he's got to pick that one up. You know, who knows what happened? I'm stunned that Capello, of all people, because of his political background, now we know what politics is like behind closed doors, right?
Oh, yeah.
We know all kinds of shady stuff goes on, and he is, you know, really in tune with that. He thinks there's conspiracies all over the place there.
And I think
he doesn't think there's a possibility of
that. You have to differentiate between fixing a game, which in people's mind is the outcome is already determined, between having an edge because one guy's on the take.
Or,
and we know that has happened, not necessarily in the NFL recently, but in NBA.
Right, and the game is not necessarily fixed.
Right.
Even
it's
that
not
game.
Fixed. Right.
But they may have said, I want Dallas to win. We got to do something about that flag, or Dallas isn't going to have a chance to win.
Right.
Dallas still had to go out and win the game after that.
Right.
So it's not necessarily fixed, but they gave him another shot.
Yeah. And Andy's right. If it was ever out there and could be proven to be true, why would you watch? You know,
but people still do.
Right. And it's why that the league, you know, the integrity of the game is so important when it comes to that type of stuff.
If
it was ever known that stuff happened on a widespread basis, people would not watch. I wouldn't.
If you went into games knowing that they're fixed.
Did you really just clear your throat or?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't want a banana in the tailpipe. I could tell that was coming.
Okay, I was just checking if that was fixed.
No, that wasn't. If you went into games watching the 2015 NFL season is coming, and I know the games are fixed, I have no reason to watch. There was a scandal in the NBA where the games were not on the level. People continue to watch because they don't know that the next game is not on the level.
Well, they don't know which games are not, yeah.
They figured out that games that they had already seen weren't on the level.
Yeah.
So, you know, there will never be an example. I don't think there'll ever be a scenario that Andy's talking about. Like, well, I just won't watch. You'll never know before you watch the game that it's fixed.
But I have.
You'll
faith
find
that
out 3 years later.
Yeah, so that's why I'll.
You
watch.
Have to have
no,
faith
I,
that
I,
it isn't.
I know, and I think I have faith that it's not either. When I go into the game, I didn't think that the Detroit Dallas game was going to be fixed before I watched it. After watching it, I'm not so sure. I don't understand what's so hard to get about that.
It's crazy. People still don't know, you know, what happened in that game, and every explanation just furthers.
Did you hear some of the sound?
Yeah,
on the side, on the
mics. Stafford and all that. Yeah,
there was no contact. Really?
Yeah,
there was no contact. I mean, I could maybe be persuaded to Andy's point of view, like in my league, enforcing the rules the way Andy wants them enforced, that's not a penalty. You can't make an argument there was no contact.
See, I think
you can't.
The real answer here is what Paul has always said. They're horrific at their jobs.
Yes. Like, you know what it took? You know what it took to finally get you guys on my side?
The replacement refs aren't that much different from the
regular
refs.
That's what it took to finally get you guys on my side.
I think that's the sad
truth. You saw when the guys came back from that season, and they were just as bad.
Ensued.
And they were just as bad as the replacement guys. Yeah. You realize that it's not just incompetence. I mean, it's not just the replacements. It's utter incompetence.
Yeah, there was a big, you know, dust up yesterday on sports radio, and I equate this. It almost came up in the same top. I equate talking about fixing games and that type of stuff with the cheating in PEDs. And so, you know, a couple guys got inducted to the Hall of Fame. Pedro Martinez, one from here. And I guess people were really upset with Felger yesterday in Mass because they started talking about PEDs and whether or not he was using them early in his career or not. And I understand where people are coming from. Look, on the day he got inducted, can you hold off on that talk? I get that. But as fans, we've been burned so many times with this type of stuff. Can you blame anyone for being cynical?
Yeah, my problem isn't with the cynicism as much as it is I don't need the story that tells me Pedro did it clean. Save that story
for
me.
Don't do that.
Save that story for me because that's what elicits to
it.
How do you know?
Well, just ignore
the
it.
The only problem is that's not – I mean, Pedro is making that the story about himself.
Yeah, well, include that quote. That's fine. Headlines and stories, and Pedro did it clean. Give me a break.
Didn't he do that after, like, he had heard people talking about
it? No, he was asked about it in the press conference.
Right, he was asked about it. Right, yeah.
You know, the era that he played in.
Yeah.
You know, it was dirty.
Right.
But I'm not here to tell you that he did or didn't. I personally think there's a very good chance that he did, because I think that whole era is ridiculously tainted. Doesn't make him any less of a Hall of Famer in my mind.
Right.
But I just don't like when you tell me definitively Ken Griffey Jr. did it clean. Barry Bonds was dirty.
Right.
Don't insult me.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't insult me.
It's like the whole thing with, you know, you can talk about the Ravens bad guys. But when you start talking about the organization as a whole, be careful because it can happen to you very quickly. And in a lot of cases, it already has.
And in ways you never imagined.
Right. So you got to be careful with that type of talk. You know. So, you know, especially with these PEDs, I'm just assuming they all did it.
Right.
And
it's safer and easier that way.
Yeah.
And I don't think that
every time we pinpoint, he didn't, it comes out that they did. So
or you get somebody
he
like
still got burnt by Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong. All about the Lance.
Listen, I fell for it, you know. I fell for
it. Do you know how many guys adamantly denied it? You know, Ryan Braun, Rafael Palmeiro, Lance Armstrong.
Right.
There's a list a mile long of
Alex
guys
Rodriguez.
That
very believable, by the way.
Yes, yeah. Like adamantly, I never took steroids, you know, bang.
Well, the latest one is LeBron, this thing that he's going through after being hurt, and that suddenly they're going to have HGH testing, and he decides over the summer, I'm going to change my physique and lose some weight and get smaller, and then for the first time in his career is missed, whatever, six straight games with injury.
Has that been a big thing?
No.
Or is that just something
it should be a big thing.
Have you come up with that?
In 10 years.
Don't yell at me. Okay. I'm interested in this. Don't yell
at
me.
In 10 years, when he fails a drug test, they'll say, you know, looking back on it, we should have probably seen the
but what
circumstantial
I'm asking,
evidence.
Has this been talked about? Because I haven't heard anything.
Just me and Kenny upstairs.
I like it.
Well, I mean, it's obvious. My first reaction when he decided to lose weight last summer was that the drug testing was involved. He was getting off the drugs.
I'm just going to tell you right now. 6 days from now, when I go back on Felger and Mads, I'm stealing that. Because that is something that those two idiots would love.
It's so
and
obvious.
I think, what's the benefit? Like, let's say he had a legitimate reason. What would be the benefit of for him losing weight?
Because he had to because
he didn't
he's
want
not
to.
On the stuff
anymore. He just said it was, you know, I'm getting older. I think I was getting too big.
That's
I want to be
asking.
Quicker.
Yeah. What was his
maybe I'm slowing down
to carry around.
At 30, I'm slowing down. So to keep my quickness, I need to drop a few LBs. Yeah. Bull crap.
LBs of muscle? Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
So he's not going to lift his
You know, he's going to lose those overinflated shoulders that were so unnatural from the beginning. Everybody should have noticed it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good right there. That's good,
it's kind
solid.
Of stuff Mike Florio used to report on.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
What an
All
idiot.
Right. Have you guys done phone calls, emails? What have I missed?
Yes. We've done some. I delete every email that I read.
Yeah, but I went back onto my platform. So
why would you do that? It was right there for you.
Because I like the way mine's set up a little bit better.
Well, sorry.
Why do you have a vest on? What's the new vest?
Because I had a
walk. Cold.
It was cold down there.
Okay, well, their options are sweatshirts, jackets. I'm asking you why vest
has
become
I also
your
took the calls that aren't on the board right now.
Because I can put this under my other jacket, and I'm layered.
Layered.
The other one's not a jacket either. It's a sweatshirt.
We're
why don't you
layered.
Have a winter
That's
jacket?
That's not what I was wearing today, dumb.
Were you wearing your workman overalls today?
No, I had my long coat. I don't know what you would call it.
trench coat, maybe.
No one knows what
you have.
Calling.
A dress coat with a. Where are you wearing?
He said trench coat. He said.
Who gives a crap?
Wait, aren't most trench coats
a top
dress coat?
You mean a top coat?
It's a top coat type of thing. Yeah.
But you're wearing the vest over it or under it?
Oh, okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, the other was not okay. I pictured you with like a top coat and then a vest on the top of it. That would not be okay.
No, I have to
on
agree.
Any level.
I have to agree with Biggs on that one. Yes. That would not be
but
okay.
That's not what I'm doing. So I don't think you
so
have to
shut
worry
the hell
about
up.
It. Yeah,
fat mouth.
Yeah.
You see Freddie getting real mad at me and mature on Twitter when I said, "Find out who fearless Fred Kerr."
Yeah, your mother.
No, it wasn't fearless.
Oh, fearful. Sorry, yeah, that's right.
Fearful. That's why you.
Your mother.
That's that. That elicited the your mother.
I'm not scared.
The very mature
and then
response.
My Twitter blew up.
Love it when he does that.
He has a good way of dropping it in every once in a while. Yeah, obviously the calls that I already took, they're no longer on the screen.
No, but he logged into his Comrex.
I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want
and
to
we know. Had some fantasies, you know. Yeah. Some guy called him, was asking us for some advice in single game fantasy.
And he just
picks.
Found out he's expecting his wife is with child.
I said, thanks for calling from the 1800s. With child.
All right, let's get to some emails.
And didn't poo-poo calling the baby Gronk.
Toby from New York. To me, Flacco was very similar to Eli Manning. Both
yeah, we read that one. So this is why I don't really have any idea why you would just go into a different
folder.
Go up top.
Yeah, I'll work for
go to the newer ones.
Let's see, Balarco writes Polo. In from L.A. He says, I was watching a few videos on NFL Now. Which is produced by NFL Network, and I saw a video of Eric debating this guy named Ryan from the Ravens website. It was awesome to see Eric being so confident about the Patriots. Never thought that Eric would pump me up for a game. The funniest part was when Eric told the other guy that he knew what he was talking about because he had won the picks contest straight up against his school.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No, because they were asking for our predictions for the game, and they made him go first. They made him go first, so I'm like, oh, this
did
is
he pick?
Go.
Did he pick the Ravens?
Of course, yeah, and he says he was like, he's like, well, it's obvious who I'm going to pick because I'm going with who signs my paychecks,
oh,
and then he gave
that's
his
no
pick.
Fun.
So then I had to just.
Well, who was he? And where was he from?
Ravens.
The Ravens guy. The Ravens.com guy.
He was Ravens.com.
Yeah, yeah. Or Baltimore Ravens.
That's like, you saying that. That's like when George says, you know, I was in a I won a contest.
You know how sometimes we watch the sports games and I have those insightful comments.
Yeah.
I also dropped it because he said something else too that we were arguing about, and they're like they get in my ear and they're like, all right, tell him why he's wrong. Tell him why he's wrong. And I said, all right, Ryan. Well, here's why you're wrong because I'm always right.
Well, and that moment you absolutely channeled Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank. If you ever you watch that show, right?
No, yeah,
you don't know who
no.
Mr. Wonderful is.
You don't know from
he
Mr.
sounded.
Wonderful.
Oh, he knows who Mr. Wonderful
he
is.
He sounded.
He's Eric Scalamino.
Exactly like that guy on Shark Tank when he said that.
Let me tell you why you're going to fail.
Right.
That's how he would start off.
Because of the
really?
Cockroach that you are.
Right. And for that reason, I am.
But
you have a hobby. It's not a business.
Eric did a good job.
Yeah.
And I have to say, he was the more masculine of the men debating. He kicked the guy's ass. The guy was a little bit of a metrosexual, and Eric dominated him like
well,
he should have.
Well, I don't judge it that way. You're bigoted that way. So.
You're an idiot.
I'm not the one who said, well, I did win the picks contest in our paper.
I did that to get a laugh.
Straight up.
Mark Capello really wants to know, A, why we don't put the final results in the paper, and B, why we don't continue into the postseason with picks. He would like to have that become a thing next year.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
We don't need the postseason. We usually put the
well, the
my
other
paper,
thing is,
I'm the editor. Damn it, no postseason.
We usually put the final results.
If we're not –
Exactly.
We don't always have postseason issues if we're not in it.
That's the reason why we don't. Yeah. It's because we don't always have a weekly issue.
That's
because we're
that's
never in the postseason.
No,
but we don't always go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
But you'd have to do it through the whole playoffs.
At some point,
if
it's got
to do it.
At some point, it's got to stop.
Can't be putting them in the draft
unless you go to the playoffs.
That's what Mark was asking.
But you I'm all for
I'm all for posting the season ending.
We
results.
Usually do that.
Yeah.
I aired last week and not putting the final results in first down. That's where I usually put the final results.
You know, Bilo was really mad at you for that.
Bilo always used.
So you're saying I should put it in this week's?
If you could be so kind, sir.
Well. Sir.
All right. Let's get some real football talk. Chester from Portland's on the line. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, before I get rolling real quick, normally I'm on hold. There's no audio today, so I'm kind of in the dark as who's in the studio. But is Eric in the booth yet? Is he there?
He is.
All four of us are here. Yep.
Nice. Eric, my man. That that situation on NFL Now yesterday was so awesome, man.
Thanks,
I
bud.
I tweeted you this morning. Dude,
they
you
dropped.
Got me so fired up. I never knew you had that kind of fire in you, man. You got me so fired up. It's not as if I wasn't fired up.
I don't think you need my help to get fired up, Chester.
It did nothing to dispel the perception that Patriots fans are arrogant.
Man.
But I tell you what, I told Andy this. I actually had to hold off on going all PFW in progress on this guy at the end because they kept feeding in our ear. They wanted us to sort of go at each other a little bit with the arguments.
Yeah.
And I had a really great ending I was going to drop on this guy, but then I was like, I don't really know him. I don't know how he would take it. And
right.
So I
better reason. Him. You don't know him.
I know, but I'll see him on Saturday.
You should say, you know, I don't want to bleach my answer, but.
That would have been good.
I got to tell you, this is a third party, though. You definitely were getting under his skin, man. And I never knew you had that kind of swag, you scout. That was funny.
And now, be honest, did you like,
thank you, Chester.
Were you channeling thoughts of like us when you were going at him? Like, my time to get back, I'm going to get him, I'm just going at him.
No.
Kind of like that kid at St. Andrews?
No, because the kid at St. Paul's, first of all, that kid, I dealt with the kid who was the problem. If I were, I'd deal with you guys here on the show when I have a problem.
Did.
I'm not going to take it out on some poor guy from another.
Yeah, he was harmless.
Website that
question.
I don't even know?
No, no question.
Oh, he wasn't tough like you.
I know he had to resign to a certain point of view, and then just the fire that you brought to him, I mean, I felt like I got into you for a second there. I mean, it was all of us, all the PFW Nation was just spitting fire out of your mouth in that. But
well, I think that
could go viral.
I will say, Chester, that the fact that we have this show gives me a little bit of an unfair advantage against
correct.
Them. They don't have anything close to what we have here
right.
in this sort of environment.
Yeah, well,
so it was easy for me. When they said
no
go
question.
After him, it was easy for me to channel the PFW.
It's like growing up
attitude.
With the Gronkowski brothers.
No, exactly.
Like,
in all seriously.
It is.
Conditioned
yeah.
for it.
Like,
yeah.
Even when, like, I think when Paul and I do other radio and stuff, people are like, whoa, you really went at you, if you only knew what we do
you
3 days a week
right.
for 2 hours.
Right. I just had one. I went out on Monday to buy tickets for a friend from the ticket office, and there were some guys out there that were buying tickets, and they wanted to take a picture with me. And the guy says, the guy, well, no, this is
Steve Buckley just walked
this
into
is,
the show.
This is more about Andy.
It's more about you, it sounds like.
No, well, if you let me say the story. and the guy goes, hey, where's Hart? I want to get a picture with Hart, too. I said, he's upstairs. He goes, you two guys. He goes, you guys really don't like each other, huh? And I started laughing. I go, no, we're actually really good friends, but we did just have a really good argument right upstairs 5 minutes ago because we did. It was about the fixing of the Dallas-Detroit game.
Right.
We had a whole blowout about it, and the guy was mad that Andy wasn't there to take a picture of him. So it was just as much about you as me.
But I do think that gives us an advantage in interactions with other.
Sure.
Not a lot of people do this all day long.
It takes practice.
Right.
Yeah.
You learn how to win fights.
And it takes energy.
It's like debating.
I mean, it's
debate club.
It's
sure.
exhausting
yeah.
to be on that level
yeah.
all day long.
Yeah.
Well, my takeaway is it's a small sample of how much greater Pats Nation is in terms of bringing it, trying to bring some form of debate. From a media standpoint, you represented us all so well, man, and I had to give it up to
thanks,
you.
Thanks, bud.
So,
I appreciate it.
They dropped.
And, for listeners that haven't seen it, you got to check it out. NFL Now, just look it up. You'll find
I retweeted
it,
but, you. I retweeted you, Chester.
Yeah, I saw that. Good looking out, man.
What about all the people you lost? They didn't get
the hell with them. They don't need to see it.
To wrap up real quick, you know, about this game, I know I spent a lot yesterday about what I want to see, but I just can't wait to see some fireworks coming up. And, you know, again, I just think that we just really got to come out with intensity, man. We're going to win and lose by the intensity here. And, you know, I just wanted to say, as fired up as all we are, and listeners, you've all come a long way this week in showing some faith. I credit this show a lot to that. But, you know, if we're all fired up, I can only imagine how fired up that guy is with number 87 on his shirt. He's going to come out and look to turn some heads, and he's going to take that D and shove it right up that Raven ass. That's what's up. Look out for Gronk on a huge game. Let's kick some ass. My call on the score, 41-17. We're going to blow that out.
Wow. I've heard that score a ton. That specific score, 41-17. It's at least the fifth
lock
time I've heard it in the last 3 days.
Well, I agree
lock
with you.
Lock it in. Thanks, Chester.
All right,
color
thanks,
me
Chester.
Stunned.
I agree
if
with
happens.
Chester about the Gronk having a big game. I take 3 points away from his New England score and give 3 more points to Baltimore, but still 38.
Save it. What are you doing? We got picks later.
breaking news. Paul, you can retweet this if you get a chance. Don Shula was interviewed by the Sun Sentinel for a profile, and the topic of Bill Belichick came up, and I'm reading from Pro Football Talk. And Shula said, quote, Belichick. Don Shula has referred to Bill Belichick.
Don Shula?
Belichick.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Don Shula. Not Mike Shula. Not
says Don Shula. And you can ask the guy whose website it's on in a little while if he has the balls to come on, and we'll talk about it.
Wow. That's...
Was he kidding? Was it serious?
I don't know. I haven't read the whole story. It seems serious, but I haven't read the whole story, so I can't.
Huh. Do you know where this it emanates from?
No socks.
I know. A voice just pops up on the radio.
No, but Paul was very cordial and invited me.
The Sun Sentinel.
The gentleman wrote a column on Sunday to celebrate Don Shula's 85th birthday.
Okay.
And in the process of writing the column, he's just asking him a couple questions. Surprisingly, the undefeated 72 Dolphins season came up.
And there he is. He's got to defend Belichick.
And so the 07 season came up, probably?
They're still living off of it.
And when they brought up something about, you know, contemporaries or anything like that, and he mentioned the Patriots and Belichick, Shula's response to him, and it was in quotation marks in the original article, was, "You mean Belichick?"
Wow. I mean, that's supposed to be one of the ambassadors of the NFL, and someone who holds up history and the reverence of all that is, you know, for the shield. And for him, holy war has now just been declared on the Miami Dolphins.
You're going to beat up an 85-year-old man?
I know, right? But has been declared probably for a little while there, right?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know that he
now
had.
Now, that's Shula's the one he's tied with, right? 19 games, and he's going to go with Landry for 20?
Was that right?
Am I wrong on that, Paul? Yeah. Bill's about to tie the record when he beats the Ravens for most postseason victories with 20. He's going to tie Landry.
Oh, postseason?
And I think he's tied right now at 19 with Shula, but I may be wrong. Yeah. Maybe he's mad because he's about to pass him.
That is accurate. Landry with 20, Belichick and Shula with 19.
Yeah. The guy might have lost it for all
so
we know.
So he'll pass Shula.
I mean, did you remember him a couple years ago at the Super Bowl? He looked like he was going to die then.
When do you think that might happen?
Him die?
No, when do you think you might pass Shula?
Oh.
When do you think you might break the tie?
About 7:45 on Saturday night.
I just came down for the fireworks. What will somebody send me a text? What time does what time's the main event start?
Well, Mike said that he has some longer breaks in his second hour, so he might be able to pop over.
Might.
Yeah.
Ding ding.
Might be a winner.
You know, I'm just going to turn into a turtle.
Well, beep beep.
I am going to. That's why I'm going to do it.
Do you have a prediction for the fight?
Well, if I really fight, it's over before it starts.
Pain.
What was that game, Paul? Browns Patriots. 14 seconds in, or whatever. Bethel Johnson ended.
14 seconds. Earliest nod in the history of Paul Perreault.
That's what this would be if I wasn't going.
14
to be
seconds. Return the opening kick. You know, 40 something.
Yeah, but
if you
just start.
And the good news is, when he needs help and he's going to like try to fight, have his mom fight for him, you're here to just turn to you like he did last time when we were going at it.
Is this how you're going to be nice to him?
All right, webradiopatriots.com.
I'm just going to ask him if he can unblock me on Twitter so I could, for example, this thing about Shula, I'd like to be able to retweet, and I can't retweet it.
Leo writes in, I want to talk about the matchup between the Ravens' defensive line and the Patriots' offensive line. Brady's production suffers dramatically when there's pressure up the middle more than off the edges. For example, the games against Indy in the past, there was always pressure off the edges by Freeney and Mathis, but Brady used to just evade it by sliding up and around the pocket. Even this year against Denver, when Knighton was held in check, he had an excellent game. Against the Ravens, comes down to how well Haloti Ngata is held in control. I think the best way to tire him out is by going no huddle and running to the outside instead of between the tackles. What do you guys think?
I don't want to run the ball.
Yeah, I'd rather throw the ball first.
Spread them and shred them on record.
Yeah, I think going no huddle and up tempo
can
do the same thing. It doesn't matter whether you're running or
– Somebody, would you ask Bill about that today, the up tempo against Doomerville and that kind of thing? And he said, they just rotate him in there. And
which is what they don't really want to do because they don't really do it.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't talked – really much at all.
We confused Paul there.
No, if they wanted to play him on early downs,
they would play him on early downs. No, they do rotate him through, though.
No, I know, but that's not what they want to
do. Passing situation.
No, that is what they want to do. They want to rotate Doomerville into the game.
If they
Andy wants to go no huddle, so you keep him either on the field or off of it.
No, but Bill said they'll just put him in there if you go no huddle.
Oh, that's what they don't want to do. That's what they don't want to do.
If they wanted him to be on the field every snap, they'd put him on the field.
It was said differently.
What do you mean?
He said that Bill says, well, they just rotate him in. And then you said, that's what they do. That's not what they want to do.
Is put him on the field.
No, but he had just said, Bill said that they rotate him in, so I think it was
no, well,
confusing.
Bill is basically saying, like, they'll rotate him from series to series. They'll know you're going no huddle, so they'll see the second series, and he'll be out there on first down.
I took it more
on the field.
You guys might be right because you were there, and I was just listening on the computer. I thought he meant rotating from play to play.
Well, you can't do that if someone's going
they're going no huddle, yeah.
I understand that.
So that was the question.
So, yeah.
It's not really that important. It's kind of.
I don't know. It feels like it's going to be fun.
The last thing,
need a warm up before
the last thing Eric
on.
Said was they like to rotate him in, and you said they like to. They don't want to do that.
Right, rotate him in on first down.
Yeah, I didn't take it in first down. I just when Bill says they like to rotate him in, I was thinking from play to play.
No, Bill was saying they'll just rotate him in.
Yeah, that's what. I didn't,
basically,
that's why
on
I said
down,
on the computer.
Series to series
on the computer, I took Bill's thing differently than that.
The wrong way.
Okay.
I'm just getting ready for Florio. Don't take it personally.
It might have been
my sparring partner right now. You got those pads up, and I'm just jabbing.
And I said it's not all that important, but
nor is my feud with
Florio. Think it was
most of the arguments we have are
right.
I just didn't want to mislead everybody.
Melvin from Tennessee yesterday. He says I saw Ravens injury report, and I thought it said Revis injury report, and I almost died. Anyway, can't you imagine this getting into a kicking contest? The Ravens still have that good kicker. Red zone offense, I think, can be a factor that has not been mentioned. I'm all ready. Bring on the birds. Funny, I gain a tremendous amount of confidence when Eric says we will win. I'll be eating my victory pie by the third quarter.
Wait a minute. You guys have been ripping him all year for always being wrong, and he always picks the other team.
Yeah, but he's always been right this year.
That's because I won the contest.
Not when he picks the Patriots. He has not.
He was horrific.
Right.
Remember, he thought the Bears would dominate.
It was just in that.
Matter of fact,
he might have
mathematically eliminated us if he didn't pick against the Patriots every week.
It was in that small stretch of games. It wasn't all season that I was picking against them.
I think you picked them against Chicago.
Oh, you
picked the Bears. I picked them for like three straight weeks to lose, and then that was it.
But they lost them all. I mean, like, you lost every one of those picks.
But, Paul, they play 16 games. I didn't pick them against them all 16 games. It was one little stretch where I picked them for three games.
And you
in
lost
a row.
More games picking the Patriots than the rest of us combined.
Yes, but
can you imagine if you picked the Patriots every week? You would have had us mathematically eliminated in like week 12. Because you won the picks contest going away.
I know, but it was only 3 weeks.
I know, that's a lot. You say only. They only have a chance to lose like two games a year, you know, heading into the game.
Careful, Paul. He's dropped, so he's ready.
I'm 3 weeks in a row you picked against him. And now, like Andy says, now everybody's all excited because Eric got me all fired up.
I mean, that's like a kiss of death from my perspective.
Oh, shot.
He's so confident.
Three weeks ago, they wanted him dead.
Right.
Kenny from New Jersey writes in, let's first address what seemed to be the topic of the week. Am I scared of the Ravens? No. Are they my first pick of the playoffs team to be facing? No. Of course, Cincinnati, Indy on paper look like the better matchup for the Patriots. Hell, if I could have my choice, I'd take Denver, get them out of the way, and move on. All season, I kept thinking how comparable this season was to the 2003 season. Early on, the media talk was, have the Patriots lost the Patriot way? 03 was, did Belichick lose control of the team? 14 was, is Brady done? Bring on Garoppolo. I think the biggest worry is the Patriots O-line versus Baltimore D. Is this where Tim Wright for Logan Mankins comes back to haunt us? And by the way, what's with Bill and these Rutgers guys? That's an old one. I don't think so.
And by the way, have you noticed this guy brings in Rutgers guys?
It's a 2003 comparison. That was fresh.
I don't think so. Let's now compare this postseason to the 04 playoffs. Held the best offense in football in the Colts to 3 points in the divisional round and scored 41 points on the league's best D in the Steelers. Let's not fear Baltimore. The Patriots are the best team in the AFC. If you want to be champs, you play who was in front of you. It's not Indy, Cincy, or anyone else. Patriots get this win, which I agree will be the least favorable matchup until Super Bowl 49. Now it's time to watch some three games to glory and enjoy the playoffs. Patriots 31-16.
Okay.
I love the email. The beginning of it, the 03 stuff.
Rutgers
I think,
line.
Yeah, that was old. I don't know what that's doing there. I think there's a lot of comparisons. I think we actually wrote about it during the course of the season. Will it be 03 or 09? You know, and it certainly, they had a crossroads and they went the 03 way.
I'll let you know 7:30 on Saturday night.
Yeah, but
I'll also let you know about, because the Seymour Mankins comparison, well, the Ravens were the team, you know, it could be the team again. Ray Rice, boom, boom, touchdown. You know, Sorrell Suggs, boom, boom, strip sack.
And it was interesting. I don't know who it was.
Well,
I don't know who wrote it. I think one of the guys on ESPN.com, Kuharski, maybe? Paul, is there a Paul Kuharski?
Kuharski?
He's an NHL ref. Remember him?
Not Paul Don Kuharski.
Don Kuharski.
Who's that?
You're right. Paul Kuharski's like NFC or AFC South or something.
He spoke to anonymous scouts. One of those.
He derails a show like us.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
That's my point.
But he said he had some. He had a scouting report of the game, and I guess he had some quotes from anonymous scouts. And one of them said that he doesn't understand why teams don't just line up and run the ball at New England until they can't run it anymore. It keeps Brady on the sideline, and eventually that run defense will crack. It's not that good. I don't know if I agree with it.
I don't know if I agree with that either.
But
they've been pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been telling you that for weeks, and you keep poo-pooing me every week.
They played after the middle of the season when they were questionable, and seven times, 3.6 yards per carry or under.
Green Bay was the only one that ran it well.
3.6 yards per carry or under. That's not just good. That's real. I mean, there were like 1.5s in there and 2.6s. They dominated the ground game. Now, I mean, you can tell me, okay, we're just going to pound it and, you know, body punches.
We're going to live with the 2 or 3 yard
game. It's a 15-round fight, and we might not win rounds 1 through 6, but
we'll win late. But you can only do that if the Patriots' offense is sputtering.
Correct.
Well, not if you run it well.
Well, no, if you
if you're running it well.
No, but if you don't run it well, he's saying just keep doing it because it will crack. It will break.
Right.
Well, that's easy to say unless you're down 21-0 in the second quarter. Now game, set, match. Thanks for playing.
Keep running, you know. Go ahead. Bang your head against the wall. Let's go to Tyrus in California. Hey, Tyrus.
But when the Patriots fall behind multiple
times. Hey, how you doing?
They got away from the run too.
Good, good.
What's up?
I'd like to start off first saying, I'm worried about the Sega day, but I'd like to also say the Dolphins are irrelevant, so we don't care what Don Shula is talking about. We had three, they only had two. So,
yep.
So this week I would like to kind of see our secondary put Kyle Larrington on Torrey Smith this week and Juice Browner in on the tight end a lot. Eric kind of mixed Browner up this week.
I've seen the Arrington Torrey Smith matchup, and I don't like that
at all.
I've seen it. They've covered each other in the past. I mean,
with help, though? I mean,
he's covered him in the past, and it's not gone well.
Devin McCourty over the top, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like Malcolm Butler on Mike Wallace with McCourty. With McCourty over the top. I don't think McCourty is an effective center fielder. I don't. I think he's late more often than not.
But I do. But I would like to see Brown more on the tight end because Torrey Smith can kind of run.
Yes, yeah, he can kind of run.
That's why I want Darrell Revis on him.
The top off.
Yeah.
Although, interesting, I did a little I was looking at the Ravens stats pack. They had, I think, 10 plays.
I've lost feeling in my lower extremities.
It's not that cold in here.
Yeah. Grow a pair.
Oh, my
or
God.
Borrow Eric's. They have had 10 plays of 40 yards or longer this year, and 6 of them from Steve Smith Jr. and only 2 from Torrey Smith, who you think of as the big play fast guy, as Browner said, take the top off the defense, 7:30 Comcast tonight. And really, Steve Smith has like the top 5 plays, the long ones for them this year. Now, remember, some of them were that quirky one where they got tipped and then he kind of just kept running and ran. And they weren't all, you know, picture perfect and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys, what's going on? How are you doing?
Long time no see.
What's going on, man?
Where the hell are you? You at Penn Station? What's going on back there?
I work at Carnival Cruise Line.
Oh. Tell that woman next to you in the cube to shut the hell up. Did the buffet just open up?
Are they going to their muster stations?
Nah, I work in the corporate offices.
Oh, okay.
But what I wanted to say was I'm trying to figure out why everyone's so scared about this Rangers team.
We're not.
Not everybody.
No. Not just Fred.
Based on the predictions of 41-17, I don't think there are too many people.
Well, wasn't that the score we had last season?
41-7 last year.
41-7. I mean, that was in Baltimore.
Correct.
So, I mean, the way I look at it is I'm not scared of the Ravens. Obviously, we know what we can do with Denver. I'm not even scared of the Seahawks. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember a couple years ago we were in Seattle and we should have won that game, but I think Kyle Arrington let Sidney Rice run by past him for like the second touchdown, and we lost that game up in Seattle. So if we almost beat them in Seattle on a neutral field, I gave us a 50-50 chance, man. I mean, I honestly think out of all the years.
With a much better secondary, by the way.
Exactly.
Than they had that time.
And Seattle is a much better team than they were at that time.
Yeah, but
playing their quarterback that was playing his third career game or fourth career game.
Still.
Who's since won a Super Bowl.
Still.
Well, I think, honestly,
you're going to have Nate Ender and Tavon Wilson back there.
I think the Ravens game will be all right. I'm looking forward to it. The Super Bowl, I mean, how long are we going to wait to get this fourth championship? Like, it's been dodging us for 10 years, man. It's,
I know.
We imagine that.
We need
10 whole years.
We got to go 10 years without winning Marcus. The title.
Ask Cleveland. So he works in a call center and, like,
sounds like Carnival Cruise Line.
Calls us, though. Is his phone flashing and he's just ignoring? Now you know why you're on hold for 47 minutes when you call Carnival.
Please hold. Your call is important.
No, it isn't. He's talking to an internet podcast.
I'm sorry the ship is sinking and everyone has diarrhea, but, you know.
Are they the bad one? No offense, Marcus. Sorry.
I don't know. They're all bad.
One had that whole stretch of.
Have you ever been on really a cruise, Freddie?
No.
I haven't either.
Oh, no. The problems at sea?
Yeah. I think it was.
Have you ever gone on a cruise?
Yeah, one.
How was it?
It was with them, actually.
How was it?
It wasn't bad. It was only a 5-day, and two of the days were at sea, so it was
Pawtucket Harbor thing.
Did it go through the hills of Providence?
Pawtucket Harbor.
Wait, what?
No, we did Western Caribbean and stopped in Cozumel, Grand Cayman.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I wanted to see what it was like.
Season, I'll tell you my cruise stories from when I used to live in the Caribbean.
Off season? Why? Why?
Not now. It's
the biggest game of the year, and we only have an hour left.
We only have a half hour left.
When I used to live in the Caribbean, did you catch that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
No, I know. So you were an islander. People came to you. Okay.
Right.
Not actually a cruise story.
Well, there's stories revolving around cruise lines.
You must have been banging so many.
Wow.
Is this the story about the one where you found the earring?
You were in shape back then.
No, that had nothing to do with a cruise line.
Were you in shape back then?
Oh, yeah. Were you Studley?
Yeah. You laugh. Seriously, I used to, every day, my job was on the beach. I gave tennis lessons, but my main job was just renting snorkels and windsurfers on the beach. But in the morning.
He was giving tennis lessons. What do you think he was giving tennis lessons?
In the morning, like, it was this private beach, and I would rake the sand, and I set up this thing with a rope with this big, huge iron grate, and I'd pull it. And that was my morning workout.
Strong like bull.
I'd pull, ladies, come ride. Yeah, I'd pull this thing back and forth on the sand in the morning.
They should have hired him instead of Aaron Rodgers for those new commercials with the Hanson.
Right, it was kind of like, you know.
Andy looks like one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Got his big oversized sweatshirt on.
We'll have a Caribbean show.
With those puny arms.
I'm interested.
I'll tell you all my stories.
Because if you legitimately were in shape, that seems like
it's the best.
Like shooting fish in a barrel, these women coming off a boat.
You must have been giving tennis lessons to like these unhappy housewives.
Exactly.
Looking to bang someone.
Actually,
backstroke.
A lot of it wasn't that lesson. It was just like the guy, you know, they're here on their honeymoon or whatever, and the guy just wants to play tennis. So I'd be the guy that would go out and play
guys?
With them.
What?
That's just a very uninteresting
That just ruined the whole thing.
Playing
for
bumper
me.
Cars in the shower.
Right.
Given the recent reports of what your dreams mean, I'd keep that story to yourself.
Did anybody have a unit on the side?
Hey,
Mike Florio's going to join us.
He's over there.
Let's go to Dana in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, guys. Fred, thanks for taking my call.
Can't they hear us in that studio?
A couple things. One, a quick comment, and then I'll let you go. First of all, Shula, don't even dignify. He's bitter.
I guess. And he may have lost it.
But what is he bitter about?
Life. He's nearly dead.
He's had a great life. He's 85.
The light at that end of the tunnel keeps getting brighter.
Yeah, but Bonacani and him are bitter. I mean, they sit there and they're just hanging on to this stupid record of theirs.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
what do they have to be? I don't understand the bitterness. I don't think they're bitter.
They're bitter with the Patriots for some reason. Shula's
they're protective of that record. I agree with Fred's perspective on that. Every year, it's like the highlight of the year when the last team loses a game.
Right. Yeah,
it's sad, but I don't think there's any bitterness involved. They get to keep the record.
Don't you think it's kind of become shtick?
It's embarrassing.
Let me get his thought out.
I think Shula should just remind Shula what happened in Super Bowl III. You know, I mean, when you're supposed to win, too.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, quick points. I think we're going to come out and I'm predicting a score like 51-10. We're going to kill them. I mean, as the week goes on.
You're right, Fred. I hear a lot of fear out there.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. Most recent history, we beat them 41-7 without a defense last year in their place. So what have they, what do they have now that they didn't have then? Help me out.
I hear you there.
Steve Smith,
but
Owen Daniels,
I don't want
Justin
to play
Forsett,
that game because
CJ Mosley,
if we talk about Okay. Comparisons, we're not the same team as we were then.
And the Patriots
are they.
And the Patriots are much better
both
than they were that day.
Both teams are better.
Right, right.
I think you can make much a strong better argument for like five of the top 10 teams on both teams, players, I'm sorry, on both teams, didn't play in that game last year.
Yeah.
Gronk, Revis, Browner, he's got, they didn't play
what
in that game last year.
What you're hearing from me is the confidence a championship defense
gives
you. Yeah,
but even high
that's what you're hearing from me.
Hightower are a big factor this year. I mean, they weren't as factor like they are this year. They've taken
Hightower was,
to new
was
level.
A huge factor last year.
I would say Jamie
Collins
is
a much
different
guy.
Different guy now.
Yeah, Hightower is too. He was getting burned in the flats a lot.
Not late.
Where they fixed
not
that
late in the season
but
last year.
C.J. Mosley has
true
had
that's
a tremendous
right
year. I mean, you go back and forth. Both
yeah,
teams
go
are
back
significantly
and
both teams have significantly improved since
but,
that game
but
last
year. My confidence emanates from our defense. That's where
yeah,
I'm
that's,
getting,
that,
getting
see,
my
that's, that's where mine does too, Fred.
Yeah,
I'm with
where
you
are you at with this? I mean, do you see this as a competitive game, Andy?
I do.
I see it as a competitive game that I think the Patriots will pull away. I think Gronk's going to dominate. I know it's so lame, and I'm like Mr. Gronk guy.
Yeah, it would have some. It would have some merit if you actually ever said something different than that.
I think Blunt's going to run like
I tune into Felger and Mass.
It's like,
no,
it's like this
no,
game.
No, now it's on.
Sot
this
stinger
game. No. I turn into Felger and Mass.
This game, I think, is the game that Gronk is going to take over.
No, ding, ding, ding,
no,
ding.
Dana, just so you know, out of nowhere, Gronk is going to be good this week.
5 o'clock yesterday, I hear Felger say, give me your final thoughts, Paul. And he goes, well, I know I sound like a broken record that I've been saying this 17 weeks, but who's going to cover Gronk? Gronk's unstoppable. He's like
that exact same damn thing.
Word for word.
He's such a fraud.
That is word for word exactly what I said. That's awesome.
Ed Reed's going
to
call.
He never listens to me. Why was he listening yesterday? Hey, I'm going to go way out of the box, Dana. Gronk is probably going to have an impact on this game.
You think so?
Yep.
Maybe.
Very simple.
Maybe.
Nate Solder, Ryan Wendell. If they play competitively, Patriots
well,
win.
I do think this is going to be a competitive game. I think the Patriots are going to win. I think they're going to cover, but I think it's going to be a competitive game.
I don't think so. I think the second half's going to
I know. I'm in a small minority in this
right now, guys. They got a lot of bulletin board reading. They're pissed off. They want to kill them.
All right.
Well, that's true.
I'm in a small minority in this game. Most people think this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah. I don't think that's true.
A lot of fanboy reactions.
Fanboys always.
But that's
so
where
you
ask
Fred Kirsch, Jerry Thornton, and somebody else,
but
you
get
big scores and you're surprised?
Let's forget about outside of here. Just this week, have you had more people that have sort of talked like Chester and Dana just did, or have you had more people talk like I'm saying it's going to be a competitive game?
After I flip the field, now we have – you know, more people talking like Chester and Dana.
I think it's been fairly even.
First of all, you started off the first show, the beginning, saying that whole thing about
I'm not scared, even though you certainly sound
petrified.
I flipped the field for people. I gave them the confidence.
I needed you there. Where'd you go? I needed you on that one.
I'm sorry.
Even though he sounded petrified.
He did. It wasn't as much even the voice for me. I looked into his eyes.
I think at one point he quite.
No, I looked into his eyes, and the man is fearful of Ravens.
You're full of
it. There was like a little shake in his voice. It was like
no question. No question.
Hashtag, I'm not scared.
The shake was from anger and adrenaline.
Yeah, I think I think there are some people that think this is going
to
be a close game. I've heard a lot of Andy's scenario, like they just come down, they score in the first drive, and it just steamrolls from there, and they're going to blow them out.
Well, that's kind of why I'm telling you, if you really want my pick, and you know, you can mock me all you want, I'll tell you after the first series. I really think this game could be very much telling what happens on the first series and where this goes. I really do.
All right.
But you don't think Baltimore would quit?
No, I don't think Baltimore will quit. No.
So you think the Patriots is that much better than them?
I think the Patriots are pretty good.
I think the Patriots are pretty good,
so
too.
So I think if Nate Solder and Ryan Wendell get their jobs done,
but on
the
like
rest
three plays?
Will take – will yeah. I'm going to be making a –
So if they don't give up a sack like in the first series, like
– So Paul can have nods in the first quarter, but Andy can't make anything out of a first quarter.
No, but I just
–
Are you still getting warmed
up? I think it's a little contradictory.
Like,
we talked about what could happen if the Patriots got a big lead in this game. I think that's when you might see rushing yards pile up in the second half. If Baltimore realizes we can't win this game and they just say, well, you know, this ain't our day. And Andy counteracted that by saying, and I think he made a good point, Baltimore's too proud. I don't think they'll just roll over and die. They might lose the game, but they won't quit. The only way he could see them piling up a lot of rushing yards, and he actually convinced me in this, was if they break a couple. You know, Blunt gets a 60-yard touchdown run. Yeah. You know, he's averaging 2.2 a carry, and all of a sudden he breaks one.
Notice right? We didn't say Gray.
Well, this was Andy's point. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth here.
We didn't do it this week, but I will give Felger and Maz credit for yesterday.
They played the old audio, some of the great this rivalry. I forgot all about the Ray Lewis rant here, and the Terrell Suggs rant.
We put our pants on, all that stuff.
And then the whole Terrell Suggs
yelling in our locker room, arrogant, you know.
Oh, no, I was talking about some of the audio they played from like an E60 or something. This rivalry has some really good audio. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Ray Lewis, and then he's smiling. You smiling, it ain't no personal foul. Like, it was good.
That was a cheap one. And he's smiling. And that's wrong. And that's sad.
And you're right. Brady has had more than a few questionable moments in this rivalry.
Santa.
Remember the Ed Reed high slide kick into Ed Reed?
Right.
And he actually apologized to Ed Reed later.
Yeah.
Brady's competitive whininess has not been at its best in this rivalry.
Right. They get under his skin.
They do.
Remember that call?
And I don't think he always reacts well to that.
Remember that personal foul he got for that kick?
Fired up.
Oh, no. Never mind.
Alex in Somerset.
Easy, Ray. Remember that murder rap you got? Oh, wait, never mind.
On Tuesday, Paul said that this Ravens team is better than the 13 Ravens that beat the Patriots, stating things like
2012 Ravens.
Stating things like Steve Smith is better than Bolden.
That's not what I said. I said he had a better year than Bolden did.
And an improved linebacking core. Really? No Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, or Bolden, and they're better now?
Yes.
The same Ravens that squeezed into the playoffs as a 6 seed and choked the lead to the Chargers. I think I read this already.
Yeah, and it was the same Ravens team that squeaked into the playoffs, having lost 4 of their last 5 games in 2012.
So I just want to ask, 3.9 a carry better than 5.4 a carry?
Yes.
Because his name is Ray Rice.
I looked up the stats yesterday. Andy and I were talking about
ridiculous.
This. The only thing that was a little bit closer than I thought was Bolden was a little bit better in the regular season than I remembered that year. But he still was not as good as Steve Smith that year in the regular season.
And I don't think he was better. I think the numbers, I can distinctly remember reports out of Baltimore that year about how unhappy and irrelevant they were with what he was doing there.
Yeah, and you know he caught like 5 balls for like 40 yards in that playoff game? Just 2 of them were touchdowns.
Right. Mm. Well, touchdowns matter.
No, I understand that, but it's not like he took the game over.
Right. But he made plays.
Yeah.
In a place where playmakers have been absent in the postseason forever, we saw a guy make plays. Yeah. That's why we lusted after it.
I will say this. I'm going to say this point again. I don't know what the 2014 Ravens are going to do in the playoffs. Maybe they don't have a run in them that they had then. And that's why this team will ultimately not be as good as that team. This team in the 16-game regular season was better than that team in the 16-game regular season. The problem for them is they're playing a Patriots team this year that is far, far superior to the 2012 Patriots.
Right.
So I want to make sure everybody knows that. This Patriots team is a lot better than the Patriots team was 2 years ago. So if the Patriots indeed win 51-10 like Dana thinks and 41-17 like everybody else seems to think, it's not going to be because the Ravens weren't better than they were in 2012. It's going to be because the Patriots are better than they were in 2012.
I got to just chime in for 1 minute. Cut blocking's been a big topic this week, the Gary Kubiak offense and all that. And Jeff Howe. I love Jeff Howe, as Paul would say. When he's about to rip somebody, Paul always says, you know, I love so-and-so. Yeah. Jeff Howe just tweeted, Gary Kubiak's cut blocking techniques are still legal. Legal, I want to make sure that came out right.
Right.
But it speaks to the danger of them when he doesn't allow it in practice. I mean, kind of like tackling, hitting the quarter. Like, the game of football is inherently flawed in that you really don't want to practice the game because you get hurt. So saying that he doesn't cut block in practice doesn't say that. You know what I mean? You can't hit in practice.
Yeah, but you do hit in practice.
But you don't. You only wear pads every once in a while.
When you get to goal line drills, you do.
Why don't you tackle in practice?
They do it when they do the goal line drills.
Not in regular season.
Very rarely.
That's
very
a training
rarely.
Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out of your gourd.
Even in training
that ends
camp,
in August.
Even in training camp, there's a lot of just like wrap the guy up and then they blow the whistle.
Yeah. So that is not a good measure of whether something should be banned because you should ban tackling under those.
Okay, so would a better question be, do they practice cut blocking in training camp?
I'll bet they do some of it.
I bet they do.
Okay, so then that would be...
Right.
Now, I'm not in the Ravens training camp to tell you that with 100% certainty, but my guess is the first time they throw a cut block isn't in the game.
Right.
I don't dismiss that tweet as much as you do. It makes me go, hmm.
Of course it does. I think Gary Kubiak's not the offensive coordinator of the zone blocking scheme in New England.
I think it's borderline silly.
Home of the homers, New England.
I think there's a lot of things that you do every day in NFL football games on Sundays that you don't practice.
Right.
Because of safety.
Okay.
You don't want to expose your players to more wear and tear than you need to. Right. And tackling is one of them.
Right.
You don't tackle in practice on a regular basis because you can't.
Now, I will say, if you want to balance out can't hit quarterbacks and can't hit receivers, take away the cut blocks. Because now you're giving the defenders something that is dangerous, painful, and that's sort of similar. You know, you don't hit receivers in practice. You don't hit quarterbacks in practice. You don't practice cut blocks in practice. So all of those are maybe on their own level. So you stopped the ones against quarterbacks, essentially. Stop it for defensive players. Give them that benefit of the doubt.
I got needs, too. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Rachel
writes in some things I'll be looking for. First, says sound tackling. I'm with her there.
Yep.
Brady not hanging his shoulders.
That's actually a big deal, though. Like, I know we say sound tackling, like, oh, of course you want to tackle every week. But Forsett's a guy that can turn plays into big plays. You know, he's not a trudger or a plotter. He's if you don't tackle at the linebacker level, he will have a good day.
There was a season where on this team, tackling was an issue throughout the season.
The whole season.
And a couple of seasons. This year, maybe 20% of the
time.
It's
been pretty good.
It's been better. It's had its ups and downs.
Tackling's been pretty good this year. There was a game that was – was it the Jets game?
Yeah, they had a Jets game. You know, not surprisingly, the games they sucked. Kansas City, they didn't tackle well. The games they gave 200 yards up.
Yeah.
But in general, you can't keep a team to 3.6, 3 yards a carry and tackle poorly.
Some other things you'll be looking for. Brady not hanging his shoulders if we have a couple back-to-back three and outs. Fight in these guys for 60 minutes. Even if the O starts slow, our D has proved – they can keep getting the ball back to the O. So I don't by any means think the game will be decided by the first quarter, even if the Ravens get some sacks. I want to see hurry up, make the big D-line work. I want to see us run the ball consistently. If the Ravens do a good job against the run early and McDaniels abandons it for the rest of the game, essentially, I will be very worried. What I don't want to see, I don't want to see Vereen running up the middle. I don't want to see a healthy LaFell. What I don't want to see, a healthy LaFell who's ready to go. I don't know why that's in there. I want to see the Patriots take advantage of bigger receivers like Wright. Yes, the O-line is shaken, will be challenged, but I don't by any means think it's some impossible task. Rest and time to get back to basics, and after review, their mistakes will come out and prove a point. Okay, Patriots win 37-23.
Wow.
That's Rachel from Virginia.
That's a pretty high-scoring game.
It is.
What was her score?
37-23. So 14-point win.
Okay.
John's in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, I was just wanting to point out some of the differences. There's so many differences when you look down from when we played them last game and what we did last game. We ran on them. But when we played them last time, they had Darryl Smith in the middle, and now they have an all-pro Pro Bowl linebacker. And Darryl Smith is up there in age, and he's better in the passing game, and we kind of abused him. So now we got C.J. Mosley, and they got, as you guys already pointed out, Kubiak as their offensive coordinator before it was the guys in Detroit, the head coach.
Caldwell.
What'd you say?
Jim Caldwell.
Exactly. When you go down the line, there's just, I mean, I can't even start to count how many differences there are, but they have quality. They have such quality on the inside. Chris Canty, Brandon Williams was playing. They didn't drop. They didn't down in production when Brandon Williams played for Ellie Nagata. I mean, Nagata, I'm mispronouncing his name.
Yeah.
He's an all-pro, and then they bring in Brandon Williams, another 340-pound guy, and he played very well. They got Chris Canty next to him. They got a guy named Parnell McPhee, who's got 7.5 sacks. I mean, you go down the line, they got a lot of good guys in that front seven. As bad as their secondary is, you know, they just depend. What they do is they eat you up with the front seven.
Right. That's true. That they rely on, and they even talked about it openly this week, they rely on getting pressure and making you get rid of the ball before you want to.
What did the number they were putting out there?
1.5
seconds. 1.5 seconds.
Before they would impact the throw, I think, is how they put it.
If they achieve that goal, then
they deserve it.
Yeah. And if Solder keeps them from achieving that goal, then they have a pretty good
chance. Now, the other thing, too, is the way the Patriots have played at times against those kinds of teams, the ball's been out in less than 2 seconds. So even if you are able to get there as quick as you want to, you might not be able to affect things. I think that Baltimore, unlike some of those other teams, will play the coverage in concert with what they hope to get up front and be a little bit tighter.
Yeah,
well,
you guys talked about it earlier in the week. You know, the whole notion of press them at the line and just – you know, count on the fact that you're going to get there before Brady has time to, you know, get that ball out on a 5 or 7 step drop.
Yeah, they look at it as you might beat us over the top a time or two, but can you do it consistently?
Right.
You know, Pittsburgh did it once.
Right.
Wasn't enough to win the game.
Yeah. That. See, I don't see that little bubble screen working in this game. You know what I mean? For the Patriots?
Yeah. And God knows
I don't
they try it
see
enough.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if they don't tackle, we started with tackling for the right. Patriots. If you don't
but
tackle
But one thing
well,
the Ravens have always been is a sure tackling team. I don't know why, but it just seems to me like they're always – that first guy always gets the guy down.
D&D's.
They don't miss
don't
a lot of tackles.
Like oh, we had him.
You know?
Fred, who do you give the coaching matchup advantage to, Josh McDaniels or Dean Pease? That was a question earlier.
That was one of the emails that you're probably going to read in about 10 minutes.
I mean, I don't know.
He will, too. He'll
really,
just read it.
In any of those matchups, it's who you're coaching gives you the edge, right?
Well, that's basically what I said. I don't think either guy will get caught with his pants down.
Yeah.
And whichever guy's players execute what he tells them to do will win.
Right.
It's a tough one for him. I see what you did. You set him up.
Why?
I try to.
You didn't ask him like Bill Belichick or John Harbaugh. That would have been easy.
Yeah. Right.
You asked him two guys that.
Coordinators. One guy he's going to be ripping in the next 2 weeks.
Two guys he's not necessarily in love with.
It is two guys who are actually going head to head.
Yeah.
It's one of which who's better, Brady or Flacco in the matchup? Who cares? They don't play against each other.
One of which you'll be saying, yeah, you know, he always get away from the run too early in the next 2 weeks when he takes the Atlanta
job. If this were 2008, I think your answer would have been a very quick Josh McDaniels. But in 2009, he left to go somewhere, and you no longer feel the same way about him.
And he's leaving again in 2 weeks.
No, but that's not true. It's also I have respect for Dean Pease. I've seen DPs, draw up some pretty good game plans against the Patriots.
Sure. Yeah. We should mention, we didn't do a lot of news to open the show, and I don't know if this is even really news, but
I didn't know we had any.
The Atlanta Falcons announced a bit of a reshuffling in their personnel department.
Yes. This is interesting. Of which I don't understand.
But everybody kept saying it's basically the Baltimore Ravens format, where Dimitroff is overseeing everything, focusing mostly on the cap. Pioli is going to be the Eric DaCosta doing a lot of draft stuff, but Dimitroff still sort of has final approval over the roster.
Pro and college scouting director, I think.
Yeah. I think it's a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
I think Pioli is slithering his way in the back door with what's his name, the owner.
Arthur Blank.
And I think Dimitroff is getting screwed by
the word out of Atlanta is that's been the course of action. Pioli has really been trying to ingratiate himself with Blank.
Well, terrible human being. They're supposed to be buddies, back in Cleveland and, making $2 an hour living together.
Not only that.
And he is just undercutting him like
that. But Andy, not only that, he brought him back into the league.
No, I know.
So it's not only they were buddies like 20 years ago.
Don't put your wife around him, your job around him.
He just brought him back into the NFL. And that's the word. And some of the media guys have talked about that's what they're hearing out of Atlanta. It's not unfounded stuff, but that's the kind of stuff that Pioli's been doing. He's been trying to grease the skids to get Dimitroff out of there.
But let's be honest. He's been doing it since day one when they did that stupid video. When he said, what did he say? I got a lot of work. We got a lot of work. No. He made himself like on the level of Dimitroff from that first ride in the car.
What happened is, if you go back to the video, it's Dimitroff picking him up at the airport, and he's
right there,
and
you got the GM.
Pioli made it sound like we're starting from ground zero,
right?
We've got a lot of work to do, and Dimitroff was his attitude was, no, a lot of this is already in place.
We're
just fitting you in,
right?
But you could that was the impression
right off the bat
is like we've got a lot of work to do, as if everything you've done we've got to do over.
But they're supposed to be boys.
That's my point.
They're clearly not boys if Pioli's doing that to him. I'm sorry. You're not his boy. There's got to be some loyalty, put the relationship ahead of your own self-interest. You made a lot of money, Scott Pioli, here and in Kansas City. This isn't life or death. You need this job to pay your mortgage.
He probably made a little bit.
Right. He's just not good. Not a good person, I don't think.
A lot of this is hearsay. We don't know if it's true.
100%. That's true. That is true.
Oh, mine just goes back to when he yelled at me when I was making copies like 10 years ago.
It's my impression from afar.
I think he's a dink.
There are people in this organization that were treated poorly.
Me.
You're one of them.
My hand is raised.
Why did he yell at you for making copies?
Because clips weren't out in time. You never heard that story?
Because the copy machine
broken. And I had every freaking door of the copier open, and there's papers everywhere and jammed, and he just we going to get clips this morning or what? No,
No one.
I'll get them as soon as I can.
That's no SR like I was talking.
He's acting like an A gap.
Yes.
No one swears more.
Or a C gap.
Good, Fred.
I'd go C gap.
Oh.
Let's see. Tyler writes in, I think it will be an extremely close game, but the Patriots will make it a 2-score game late. Besides the offensive line, I think Blunt is the key player in the game. If he plays well, we control the line of scrimmage. He can slow pass rush, open up the middle of the field for passing. Patriots win 28-16. And in the last five games, Forsett has one game over 100 yards and just one touchdown.
We're starting to even it up a little bit there. That's a little bit more of a competitive game.
That's kind of where I am with the
possibility
of a late
score. And Forsett does not need to get
100
yards, by the way. Forsett getting 100 yards is not going to be
strippers with a little fun fact. How many teams with a winning record did the 1972 Dolphins beat?
Three.
Ooh.
I don't know.
He says two.
Two.
Yeah, and both of them were 8-6. So
wow.
So I'm not saying this is wrong, but they went through the playoffs only beating 8-6 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, or maybe he's just counting regular season. I don't know.
I've heard that about the Dolphins. They didn't have a very tough schedule.
That does seem a little odd, though. You're right.
It seems. I mean, they played an 8-6 team in the AFC Championship.
You can't answer, Paul, but I put a number with something you kind of brought up the other day. Fred, do you know who the richest NFL quarterback in history is? Most money right now.
Just from NFL salary?
No.
Oh, from other stuff?
Well, yeah, just richest.
Brady?
The biggest net worth.
Maybe Elway?
Nope. He's high. He's pretty high up there, $180 million or something for some.
Okay. Marino?
Nope. Paul, you know the answer.
Montana?
Roger Staubach.
Really?
$600 plus million.
Where does he get his money from?
Real estate.
Business.
Started a real estate thing and just blew up.
Wow.
He's loaded.
Wow.
He is the richest ex-quarterback.
Good for him. You know? Good for him.
And it's nice, too. Like, I mean, you don't think of him. Right. Everybody thinks, you know, those ex-athletes, the whole thing, they got hosed.
Navy guy.
In that documentary, there's a lot of nice stories about him. It's a good documentary.
Especially from that era when they didn't make the kind of money that they make now.
Like, he probably had to turn, I don't know, you know, career earnings of $2 million into $600 million.
Yeah,
now they have like $100 million to turn into whatever.
They get like halfway through, and, you know, Rich Dalrymple, he's the
PR guy
of Dallas. He sits down and he goes, now this is usually the part of a documentary where you guys go to the dark side and you look for people to say bad things. And he just looks at the guy and he goes, good luck with that. Good luck finding something like that.
Or right.
Something along those terms. And then it's just one after another of these former teammates and people that just have nothing but glowing things to say about him. Hmm. And a lot of it is business related. He helped out Charlie Waters and Drew Pearson and Thomas Hollywood Henderson and guys
like that.
And
that to me is the best part. I think guys can end up with $600 million and be a-holes. Like, they stepped on everybody and their brother to get up there. He got to $600 million and apparently did it as a
Charlie Waters, Freddie, was working at the University of Oregon. He was an assistant coach, and I guess he was trying to become a coach or whatever, and working his way up. His 18-year-old son died in his sleep, and it just completely – I mean, he was suicidal. Charlie Waters was, you know, couldn't operate. He lost his job as a result, and he had nothing to – Staubach told him to come and work for him. Here's your office. You come if you want. Don't come if you need more time. I understand. You can come in and do whatever you want, but here's your salary.
Wow.
And he took care of him.
Wow.
Another news note off of the Twitter. I like to get my pregame social mode. The Mueller report is out, and people are excerpting it.
Oh, the Robert Mueller?
Yeah. There's basically, sum it up, no evidence that anyone saw that video prior to it becoming public of the you have no idea what I'm talking
about. I am unbelievably stunned.
But another quote is,
you can't, no way.
There was, what's the next one? We concluded there was substantial information about the incident even without the in-elevator video. So they're basically saying they never saw the video, but they knew what happened in the elevator.
They should have been harder to begin with.
Right.
I just can't believe that the guy who used to work for Roger Goodell didn't find Roger Goodell, responsible in any way, shape, or form.
Well, he was busy fixing games.
You think that's out of the realm of possibility?
Here we go again.
Does tinfoil actually cause you to lose your hair? Is that why you...
And you know what the funny thing is? I'm not a huge conspiracy theory guy.
I can tell.
I'm really not. I'm astounded that you think there's no possibility. I'm
surprised you and Stallworth didn't hit it off better when he was here.
I like Dante Stallworth.
He's a conspiracy guy, though, right?
Yeah,
isn't he a 9/11 non-believer?
I think he
was
at one point, and he sort of... change that. Probably when he got some of these national jobs that probably would have lost for him.
Dan of Virginia thinks that Shula's bitterness stems from the Mark Henderson snowplow game.
Oh, that could be. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But it would be no reason to call Belichick Belichick.
Belichick wasn't here.
The reason to call Belichick Belichick is, I think we know.
Oh, I know.
But
But, you know,
that might be why he's bitter. Like, people were saying he's bitter. And I was like, well, what is he bitter about? That's a reason for him to be bitter toward the Patriots.
Stealing signals. You don't think that when Don Shula was a head coach, teams were doing stuff?
And didn't he put out the reports that Marino was on coke so he could get Marino?
Oh, really?
Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Oh. I might have made it up. But I'm pretty sure I've heard that.
Fred, you just made a comment. Like, how do you know what he thought of Chuck Knoll if Chuck Knoll was doing that? Maybe he thought those guys were cheaters, too.
No. I don't know.
The only way
Don Shula is Mr. Perfect?
I hate Don Shula, so I'm not here to defend Don Shula. I told you, the Dolphins were the team that I treated the way you treat the Jets. I hate the Dolphins. I always have. And Don Shula is the reason why. Mr. Competition Committee and the team with the least amount of flags every year. Want to talk about conspiracies, Andy? This was born at a young age, my friend.
Tyler from Georgia writes in, I'm one of those apparently in the minority who was very nervous about this game. My concerns come less from the recent play of each team, however, and more about the history, specifically one game. The day was January 10th, 2009. It was the day of the Patriots-Ravens wild card game. It was my birthday. What a present it would be, I thought, to have a playoff victory on my birthday. It had to be a sign of good things to come. Needless to say, it was a much sadder day than I expected. Now here we are, 6 years later, and the Ravens are returning to Foxborough on January 10th. One game is far from a trend, but the disappointment from 09 rings in the back of my head. While it may be a jinx to say this aloud, I will be wishing hard for a Patriots win as I blow out my candles, hold for an Andy joke about blowing, with a healthy Gronk and my birthday wish. Let's hope it's enough to guarantee a victory. Quite the lengthy way to let people know my birthday is coming up.
So. Congrats.
Let's hope your wife's blowing more than candles.
Well, there was nothing dirty about what he said, so to give him what he wanted,
should not be in the game.
What?
Wives really should not be in the game.
You don't think it's nice of me to wish his wife to...
No, I don't think that's
wives
a nice thing.
Why not?
Mothers not so much.
Wives should not be in the game.
What man in America wouldn't want that
He's
for
not
birthday?
Saying that she should
do it to every man she sees on
exactly.
the street.
Yeah. Saying her husband.
What, you slip and fall on his...
strippers
what
writes
on in,
in
that head?
Strippers writes in about Shula. He says, after the 1969 season, Joe Robbie, owner of the Miami Dolphins, signed Shula to a contract to become Miami's second head coach. As a result of Shula's signing, the team was charged with tampering by the NFL, which forced the Dolphins to give their first-round pick to the Colts.
So he's Belichick, before Belichick and Parcells.
Yeah, that was more of a Carol Rosenblum thing, though. He left that part out.
How the hell does he know that?
Who the hell is Carol Rosenblum?
The owner of the Baltimore Colts, after they lost that game, wanted Shula out. And then they leveraged it when they found out that he was talking to somebody else and they got a pick out of it.
Well, that's well played by him.
Absolutely.
You want to get rid of a guy and you get rid of him and get a pick?
Yes.
Jed York should have gone to Carol Rosenblum and said, you know, how do you do this?
And that's what ended up happening.
Or the Bills or something. I mean,
we should probably do picks, Freddie.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There's like 2 minutes left in the show. He's so scared that he doesn't even know what's going on.
Fathead led the way last week. 4-0.
Wow.
You know what? That's a start,
too.
Oh,
boy.
Another perfect postseason.
3-1 with the spread.
Oh, did I do it? Did I do it?
It's not a perfect postseason.
I'm not even sure I went 4-0 with the spread back then.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
I mean, I believe I could.
Eric and Paul went 2-2, and Fred, 1-3. Wow. With the spread, Andy, 3-1. Paul and Fred 2-2, and Eric 1-3.
Okay.
Good thing you shot your NFL Now thing before you got the results of this week.
In case anybody's wondering, the college games last week
yes.
Did not go too well for anybody, but especially me. Andy went 1-1. Eric went 1-1. Paul and Fred went 0-2. With the spread, Andy went 1-1. Eric went 1-1. Fred went 1-1, and Paul went 0-2.
We should do high school games, too, so I can beat you guys in three sports.
So we...
He's stealing your line now.
We lead off with...
you know I've bottomed out.
Do you have the games?
I do. I have the games.
Okay,
hey, what was your thing yesterday about
Are we going to do
Adele?
The national championship, too?
What was the joke?
Paul?
What's a cowlick?
We're going to have to, right?
I wanted to tell Deidre the story, but I couldn't think of what led you to say...
I mean, we did the other
What's a cowlick?
I don't have the spread, though.
But Kevin...
That was a good line yesterday.
Can you look up the line Oregon now. Ohio State line?
What's a cowlick?
And what'd he say?
Please.
Well, I thought that was given oral to Adele.
All right.
I was there for that.
Line.
I know, I was there for that, but it just.
We'll skip over.
Is she big?
I don't think she's that big.
She's known as being big.
She's big.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's she big? Bigger than Meghan Trainor? She's a little hefty.
Oh, she's bigger than Meghan.
All right, we got to get going. Come on. All right, we'll start with Carolina at Seattle.
Seattle by 10.5.
Ooh, that's a big number.
That is a big number.
They're all big numbers this week, just to give you a little foreshadowing.
Okay. I think initially I would have taken the points with – I'm going to take Seattle to win. I think initially I would have taken the points with Carolina, but this Star Lotulele injury to lose arguably your best player in the middle of your run defense, going against Seattle, Marshawn Lynch, that running game, I think it's going to snowball, and I think the Seahawks will cover.
Yeah, and I think the miracle run that the Panthers have been on comes to an abrupt end out there in Seattle. 12th man, a lot of noise. Newton, not going to get it done. I think Seahawks win comfortably.
Okay.
I'm with the boys here. I think Carolina won their Super Bowl last week the way they reacted after the game, which I don't really have a huge problem with. They got it together after a really tough start to the season. They won 5 in a row. They celebrated like they had just won the Super Bowl. This has all the earmarks of just happy to be there, kind of an appearance, and I think Seattle rolls.
Seattle wins, but I'm going to take that number. I think Carolina's defense holds them down. It's playoffs. They play pumped up, but Seattle wins the game. Let's go to Dallas at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 6.
This is a very interesting tough game.
Yeah. Smallest spread of the week.
Based solely on the quarterback. You know, he's going to say, I'm going to play, but how am I going to play? And
right.
I'm going to take the Packers at home because the Cowboys are the Cowboys, and it's the postseason, and unless they're being fixed by the NFL, I don't know. I'm just going to go with Packers at home, and Aaron Rodgers is playing. I'm going to assume he plays well enough to win in cover.
What's the weather like for Green Bay this weekend?
That's a good question. 85 degrees in some.
Really nice.
No, it's like here, I think. Same,
yeah,
right?
It's cold.
20s. Like cold, but not.
They showed a spot on NFL Network, I think, Randy Moss, the TV Randy Moss.
Yeah. The pale white one, not the
yes,
tall
he
black
was
one.
Like doing a stand up there, and it just looked utterly miserable.
Had the game, the Patriots game, been played this morning, it would have broken the Tennessee record for coldest game. That's how cold
it is. But had the Tennessee game been played on a different day that was colder, it would have been a different record.
For God's sake.
So if we're just going to offer up useless information.
I'm just saying how cold, because everybody remembers.
How cold is it?
That was a bitterly cold game. This morning was colder than that night.
Right.
Didn't feel
yes.
it.
Yes.
Alex Stewart.
Yes.
You've got your Argyle.
You dressed wisely today. I can see three layers.
Three layers today. Yeah. Yep.
You dressed
plus
wisely.
Plus that fourth layer you have naturally.
Nah,
as
yeah.
I do as well.
I hate that.
Fred has it, too. I don't know if Paul has it.
The game, Paul, sweater.
More than I like.
This is a tough game. I think the NFL would love to see a Jerry versus Bob Super Bowl.
I call
it Cowboys,
Robert, but I know what you're doing.
Patriots. But I think the Cowboys will make it close. So I'll take Green Bay because they're home. I don't really love it. But I think it's going to be a closer game than 6 points. So I will take the points.
It means more Chris Christie this week, huh?
Yeah.
And his nipples are going to be.
I am with Eric.
Tight
I think Green Bay wins the game, but I think it's fixed, and the referees will do everything they can to keep it close. I am worried about the Rodgers injury, and I think if it's going to be that cold, it's not going to be great for him moving around. I think that's a big part of his game. He might go into this game consciously trying to stay in the pocket more than he might because he doesn't want to aggravate that calf problem. And I don't think he's quite as effective when he's not able to move around. So I think that might keep the Packers offense a little bit more in check than it normally is at Lambeau. But I think they still have enough to win the game. And I do worry about Dallas's ability to run the ball against a terrible run defense. So I think Dallas keeps it close, but Green Bay wins.
Green Bay wins the game, and they cover. Dallas had their time last week. All right.
Pete Morelli not making the trip. Christie going, but Pete Morelli not. So
Indy at Denver.
Denver by 7.
I want to take the Colts. I want to say this is Andrew Luck's breakout.
This would be the changing of the guard.
I'm going to be scared away. As Andy is wont to do, he falls victim to seeing one thing. And T.Y. Hilton drops last week. Just I can't get them out of my mind, and they're going to need to make those plays. They're not going to have all those extra chances against Peyton, so I think Peyton's going to win and cover at home.
I think you're right about this, Fred. I think this is the changing of the guard game. I think Luck's time has come. He goes to Denver, and granted, Peyton I don't think is playing at 100%, health-wise right now, but
who is?
Right, exactly. But
easy, Bill.
I think this is the game for Luck. Don't know why, just have a feeling about it. And so I'm going to take the Colts in the upset.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the Broncos roll in this game, and it's not going to have anything to do with Peyton Manning. It's going to be this running game that Indianapolis will not have any ability to stop. I think they're going to control the ball, control the clock. They're going to get a lead early and just run them, pound them into submission. It might be a little bit closer than you think because they're not throwing the ball all over the place and putting 40 points on the board. But in the end, I think the Broncos win in cover.
I think Cincinnati. I think Indy really impressed me last week with their defense. I think it's like the Colts. Remember, they never have this defense. Then they get in the playoffs, and the defense would kind of step up, and they play better than you thought. That's
yeah,
what
that one time.
That's
that
what
happened.
I think they're doing now.
The year they won the Super Bowl.
I think they. I'm with Eric. I think this is the changing of the guard. Andrew Luck wins this game.
I hope you're right.
He beats Peyton
Manning.
Because
I'd love to see Andrew Luck have
that
changing
of the
guard.
It's so funny how we watch games and fixate on like different things. Like all I remember from last week defensively is Darius Butler not being able to cover that white guy out of
Rex Burkhead.
Yeah. Who I already don't care for, and to watch an actual cornerback.
And you know he's a running back. Too,
no,
right?
I know.
Oh, okay.
And to watch an actual corner struggle to cover this like jack of all trades running back, I just
yeah.
All
right.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay, so finally we get.
I would fix it in the fact
we got to go back.
Didn't
we go
have
back.
Any players playing in the game.
We go back to Saturday at
4:30. Paul, go back to Saturday.
Yes, Patriots by 7.
Baltimore at New England.
This concerns me in terms of my march towards a perfect postseason because I am going once again with the. Home favorite.
But you're not scared.
I am minor fear. I'm telling
minor
you.
Fear.
After the first series, I'll let you know. I think the Patriots could lose this game on the first series if they get bitch slapped around by Natah and Doom and T Sizzle and all those other guys. But I'm just going to go with what I said earlier. All those 40-point games I talked about. Three games against AFC playoff teams. Patriots score 40. Last three divisional round games. Patriots score 40. Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady put 40 on the Baltimore Ravens. 40 to 20, Patriots win.
We're very close in our opinion, but I think by halftime, it'll still be a close game on the scoreboard. Second half is when Patriots finally start to pull away a little bit. 38-20. Patriots win, advance to the AFC Championship.
All right.
I am a little bit different than Eric and Andy. I like the Patriots, and I think they will cover. I think it's going to be much more difficult than they do and most of our listeners do. I think this game is going to be anyone's game in the fourth quarter. And the Patriots are going to have a lead, and
the defense will win the game.
The defense will come up with that last play and take a 20 to 16 game and make it a 27-16 game with a – big play to
cover?
Either score or set up a touchdown.
20-16 in the fourth quarter, is that what you did?
Yeah, and a 27-16 final.
Ticker can't take that.
Patriots.
Listen.
Pat Rutz?
As I said, my confidence for this game comes from the Patriots defense. That's where it all emanates
That's
from.
That's where mine comes from too, Fred. I've always said I'm in lockstep with Fred Kirsch.
And I think a combination of that, and I think the offense finally getting going. I think big game for Brian Stork, kind of his coming out party here where we see him going up against the best.
Who analyzes the game by saying it's going to be a big game from the center?
And really, we're going to come out of this game going, thank goodness for Brian Stork. That
I'll
was
never
a big
say
difference
that.
In this season. 36-17 Patriots win this game.
17.
And perhaps giving us a little bit too much confidence going into next week, but we're going to be flying high Saturday night.
All that, Andy's never picked against the Patriots in the postseason.
So.
Or any other time. National championship game, Oregon, Ohio State. Oregon is a 6.5-point favorite.
I will take Oregon to win and cover.
You better.
I have enjoyed the T-shirts and things this week coming out of Columbus, duck hunting, going because they call him, what do they call him, the quarterback, the third one now. Whatever, they got him on T-shirts with like a gun going duck hunting.
Cardale Jones?
Yeah, but he's got like, not AK-47, it's something 12. 12 gauge!
How long we going?
12 gauge going duck hunting like that. Ducks
exactly my
team.
Sentiment.
Screw you, Marcus Mariota.
My only disappointment
to punch me yesterday.
Is that the...
only once?
I loved the Oregon uniforms in the Rose Bowl. I thought those were the best combination. Love the colors, everything about it. They're not going to be wearing those. That's my only disappointment.
All white.
They're going to roll all over Ohio State. It's not even going to be close. Oregon, big time, and they finally get a national championship.
I hope you guys are right. That's what I'm picking, too, Oregon, and that would mean that Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, my two least favorite human beings on the planet, would lose in back-to-back weeks.
And Burt Breer as collateral damage.
As much as I hate to say it, Ohio State wins the
game. Oh, stop.
Wow.
He just wants to be different.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
No?
If he loses, then he doesn't know college football. If he wins, he beats
us. That's it for this edition of PFW Progress. Pre-game social starts at
2:15.
2:15 on Saturday.
I'm
back with the blog. Hopefully, I don't get violently ill before the game, so I'm going to be
Depends
back.
On how the game goes.
Right. At 2:16 in the fourth quarter, I could see you getting violently ill in the press box, or at least violent.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.